kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
It is 8 degrees here.
It's, yeah, in New York here, it's like 12 today.
Yeah, we're rocking like, I think, earlier today it was like 4 or 5.
Fuck that.
It was 18 here earlier. I think I might be the most southern bound. Let me see what it is right now, just because I'm curious. It's currently 18.
Oh, that's toasty.
Heat wave. Be jelly, motherfucker.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining me, it's a veritable lineup of Joes, starting off with joining once again, Joe Martin. How are you doing?
Wait, no? You stole my last name. I am not a Joe.
Yeah, you're a Joe today. Everyone's a Joe today.
I don't want to be a Joe.
Because we have another Joe, Joe Smith, Joe Forniforge.
Joe Forniforge.
There's so much Joe going on, I can't handle it.
And then one more actual Joe, Joe Modzeleski of M7 Games. Welcome back. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. That's the one that I am. I'm that person.
So you're the actual Joe. And then we have Carnage and Cole hanging around. How's everyone doing?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
Fucking cold.
I'm dying.
Yeah, it's cold.
Fucking cold or fucking cold also?
Both?
Please don't. All of them. Please don't.
Guys, don't swear. I have virgin ears.
That's bullshit.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, it is goddamn cold lately. I just checked. It is 8 degrees in my area. And even better is that my desk is next to a shitty window. And it is absolutely freezing. Because it doesn't know how to, you know, keep the cold out.
That's when you gotta get, like, that plastic that you blow with a hairdryer, and it shrinks onto the window and seals up all the little holes.
I might have to.
That's some magical shit.
I'm just hanging out in my basement. It's a little cold down here, too. I got 4 layers on.
I legitimately have a blanket with me that is on my lap. I have a blanket too. Right now.
And I'm sitting right. Like, there's a reason I'm not locked in the bathroom, and it's because the bathroom's fucking cold.
Oh my god. So I'm watching the stream. That's where I'm watching the stream in the background, and I'm so happy that that's the picture of me that's up right now.
Mood? Amazing.
This is a pretty fantastic picture, by the way.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. With the thumbs up. So, let's see. Final show of the year. So we've made it through another year of this awful, awful program. And, you guys are here to talk about the year in review, I guess.
Oh, it's over, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a long one.
it's been something.
This show, it feels like the years just get longer and longer with this show, probably because I'm doing more and more episodes every year. It's fun. Really fun.
And you had like a world record last show, like the longest 4-hour show. You had a marathon show.
Oh, yeah. Last week with Mike Micah, Bob Baffy, Adam Rippon. Good
How
stuff.
How the hell are we going to beat that?
We're not. Fuck
you're
that.
Gonna, 40 minutes. You're going to interrupt me 1,974 times.
Maybe then we can beat the record.
No, I.
Because this will be a 7-hour show just because Carnage will shut up.
Oh, what? Saying hi to Frodo in the chat. I know Frodo.
I heard of him.
If I remember correctly, I think this is the guy that I watched his spirit break on stream playing Super Gun World 2.
Oh, yeah.
It went quite poorly.
I think it might not be him. I watched somebody play that game on stream, and they were stuck on the boss rush at the end, and you could see the moment that they wanted to die.
Oh, yeah, dude. That was there, too. I remember that. And we were all watching him rage, and it was good times. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I like to take left turns.
Yeah.
Left is awesome. Yeah,
smashed the controller on the screen.
Smashed the controller, oh my god.
I remember that, I was watching.
Nice. How does it feel to know that you make people destroy controllers?
Oh god. Oh man.
You must have had some secret agreement with Microsoft where, like, you know, you said, okay, Gunworld will make you Smash controllers. You know what? People will buy more of these things.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
There you go.
We had, like, a threshold, like, when we were going through CERT. It was how many controllers got broken through CERT would determine whether or not I was going to pass.
Oh, my Lord.
I kind of wish that was a legitimate test. Like, every game on the title card had, like, a number of little broken controller icons, so you knew how many busted during certification.
Oh, my God.
That would make me happy.
Like, you know, honestly, many controllers died in the process.
You could do something like that if the game had online functionality. Post-launch, you could do something like that, kind of like how Mario Maker, like, makes little icons where everybody died in your levels.
Oh, my God.
You could have something in the game that, like, every time somebody's controller disconnects for any reason, it pings it to the server and then puts that on the, like, on the level and on the map and records it just in case that the disconnect was because they threw it.
That would be perfect. And on top of that, even better, it would be a big ass icon that would block the screen. It'd be like, oh, this guy beat you and they're blocking the half the screen so you can't see what you're doing.
Yeah, it's not just the tiny little X when you die, it's just there all the time. Yeah.
Just a huge icon pops up. Somebody died right here.
Yeah. No joke. It did that in that game, Skyforce Reloaded. You've been playing that also, Joe, right? The Skyforce series.
Oh, my God. What Joe are you talking to?
Oh, which Joe? Which Joe?
I didn't know if I should answer that or not. I know, right?
The host.
I've picked up the Skyforce games. I haven't actually played any of them, though, because there's too much other shit. There's too many games coming out.
Gotcha.
This was an incredible year for that. It was like every month. It wasn't just one really stellar thing. It was just stellar shit constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It really was. It's disgusting how much good stuff came out this year.
I'm probably going to be spending most of 2018 playing 2017 games.
Backlog, for sure. Yep.
I'm still on like 2015.
I'm still on 1989.
I'm still working on Power Star Golf.
I see, like, I would proceed if I could stop playing Mega Man 3.
A good game to be stuck playing.
Yeah, I guess.
Are you working on speedrunning it, or just the
No, playing I just really, really like it.
Oh. Nice.
I was doing, the other one I was ever doing speedruns of was Mega Man 9, which I also really, really like.
And your own damn game.
Yeah, well, I want to get back into that, actually, because I had a really good run for a while, and I wanted someone to try and race me, and no one would race me.
Frodo, he's waiting for you.
Yeah, I see you, Frodo. You got to practice that that boss rush. Then we got to race.
Take the challenge. Do it up. So what are you working on now? Is Gunworld 3 happening, or what's going on?
There will never be a Gunworld 3, what? Unfortunately.
Why?
It just sold too poorly. It's just not a viable thing.
Isn't it getting a fucking physical edition on PlayStation?
That actually just came out.
But it didn't do well?
Through Limited Run Games. Well, so that's not really something that plays in when you do something. Like, Limited Run generally just makes deals with developers that they like, or like games that they like, and they print out these kind of limited editions, like small print runs for PlayStation, and they're starting to do Switch games too. But I met one of the guys over there. His name's Doug. I met him at E3 this year, and he liked Super Gunworld 2. I sent him a copy of it over to them, and they liked it, so they wanted to do a print of it. And that was pretty much the long and short of it. Now, like, that was successful. That sold out, but, it was a pretty limited, in the name. It was a limited run. It was pretty small print run.
Mm.
But, the thing that sucks the most about Super Gunworld 2 is, whenever it does come up, and it doesn't seem to come up much because it's not a very well-known game, but when it does come up, I can't tell you how many times I get emailed or tweeted hearing the same story of, hey, like, I didn't think this was going to be all that great, but this is way better than it looks, or way better than I thought it was going to be. And, like, people just kind of discover the game and are like, it seems more often than not people really like it. And that's, like, I think having a game that people are surprised to like that much, and they keep finding as like a diamond in the rough or a hidden gem or whatever, and then not having sales to back it up, I think that is way harder than having a game that people constantly tell you sucks. like Gun World 1. You know, like, yeah. I totally didn't care that everybody told me Gun World 1 sucked all the time, because I knew that it wasn't great. I knew it was just like a super niche kind of janky thing. But having a second one that people legitimately really think is actually good, and then nobody bought it, like, that's way worse.
And, I mean, you did the free title update thing, the whole, you know, super Gun World 2 re-release. I mean, not re-release, but, you know, that was...
It was a pretty massive update.
But yeah, and for free, and that's, like, it's awesome.
That came out this year, so, you know, you guys want to talk about Game of the Year.
There we go.
It just made it, right? It wasn't at the early in the... What month was that in?
February. It was February.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that update was huge. And I put that out for free because that's when it came to PlayStation 4. I decided that instead of just releasing it on PS4, I was going to do that big super update and stuff.
That makes sense.
And it did fine. It didn't do great, but it did fine. So long story short, no, I'm not going to do a Gun World 3, but I really, 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 really want to.
I'm kind of bummed because I know the first Gun World was really rough, but it had promise and potential. And it was stupidly cheap, so I was able to ignore a lot of the flaws with it. And I thought Gun World 2 was just a really well-done improvement in every aspect compared to the first game. More open world, lots more to do. I thought it was just a really, really solid game, and I'm kind of bummed there won't be a third one.
Yeah, I think
really all I could say on that is like, it's kind of been a joke of mine that there will never be a Gun World 3. If I ever decide I want to do it, it's like, it just won't be called Gun World 3.
That's what I was thinking.
My head, what really killed it is it's just that name. There's two things going against it. One, it's kind of, nobody knows what it is. So you're less likely to play the third game in a series you've never heard of. Like, it worked for The Witcher, but it's not going to work for Gun World. And two, the people who have heard of it, the majority of them, it's tarnished because of Gun World 1. So, really, like, in my head, if I ever decide to do a Gun World 3, it's just like, no, okay, this game's about President Eagle, and in every way, it's a Gun World game, same mechanics and everything, but it'll just be called something completely different,
it'll be called Joper Gunjo 3.
There it is. Jip Jip. Just gonna call it Jip Jip.
Oh, man. Well, you mentioned people breaking controllers over the game, and the fact that Gun World came out this year. That could lead, like, what is the most frustrating game you guys have played this year?
That's a good question.
Yeah, it is, because I'm like, man, so many games. Not a lot really frustrated me this year.
Let's see.
I could drop, like, what a lot of people might say in Cuphead, but I actually didn't think Cuphead was that hard. I just watched a lot of other people get really mad at it, and I got, like, a little frustrated, but I think that's the closest I came.
I only struggled with one of the bosses in Cuphead, and that was that goddamn dragon. Now, all the other ones, I was just like, oh, I'm fine, I've got this. It took me a few tries, but that dragon just made me want to, like, set fire to a forest.
Was that a shmup level or normal one? Because I don't think I even played one. That much. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? No, I've got one. Nidhogg 2. And that has less to do with the game and more to do with the people I was playing it with.
Yeah, people could always, you know, make it.
No, it's not rough in a bad way. I was enjoying myself, but that's one of those things where you just get super heated with your friends and you just want to bash something against their head until their eyes don't work anymore.
Yeah,
we all want to do that, right? That's normal.
Exactly. I kind of had a similar experience when I was playing Ultimate Chicken Horse with a friend, where I was playing with him and his two kids online. And his kids kept doing shit to, like, completely block the path to the exit, making it impossible to get there.
Nice.
Like completely impossible to actually anyone to get to the end of the stage, so no one could get any points in the game. Like,
AKA griefers.
Oh, freaking troll griefers. Playing Ultimate Chicken Horse with a 4-year-old is a terrible idea sometimes.
Yeah. I remember early in the year, January, I believe I'm looking here, January 20th, the game I Am Bread came out. So early in the year, that is one of the most frustrating games I ever played. I actually streamed it one time, tried to even just beating level one, let alone, took me about a half hour. And hell, there's fucking achievements for, like, getting A+ speedruns in that game. And you got to do it in, like, a couple, like, half a minute or something. So that game probably, I heard it's one of the hardest if you want to get all the achievements too. So definitely one of the toughest, most frustrating games out there this year, in my opinion.
Good picks.
Ruiner was one of the most difficult games for me. That second boss was just absolutely brutal.
I still love how Dark Mika in chat calls you Scotty all the time. I don't think I know anyone who calls you Scotty.
Scotty doesn't know. I don't know anything anymore because I haven't been here in a while, but glad to be back. Yeah, I've been pretty busy with the new job and that stupid tournament on GTASK, you know, achievement contests and stuff.
You and your friggin' achievements.
So Eternal, Ruiner, the twin stick shooter. How are you at it?
I was doing fantastic up until that second fucking boss became a thing. And like, as soon as it starts, I get blown away, and then I smashed 4 controllers and uninstalled it.
Oh, no that way. A it's thing. A twin stick. How dare you?
I know.
You have to pay tribute.
Did you beat it?
You know what? No, I haven't even played as much.
Right. So what was the second boss?
I need to.
That's a cool game, though. It's the one that's called Mother, and it's like the factory thing.
Oh, with like the stupid powerful laser attack that just blows and, the shit out of you.
As soon as I spawn in on the checkpoint, I get zapped. Like it comes up and says, you know, protect yourself, and you don't even know what to do or have time to do anything, and I just die. I'm just like, I'm done.
Yeah, that was a fun boss.
Put it on his list. It's like in his top 15 for hardest of the year.
Wow.
I have not played Ruiner yet. Is that a... I want to make sure I'm thinking of the right thing. Is that a Devolver game?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay.
It's also Play Anywhere, if I'm not mistaken, right? I think it is.
I don't know. But it feels like every other game anymore is a Devolver game.
I mean, so many games out.
Devolver puts out some great games. At E3 this year, I played Ape Out.
Ape Out
is awesome. Oh my god. I had a great time with them at E3. They had a pretty great booth. They had have you guys played Genital Jousting?
Oh yeah.
that'll ever come to Xbox.
they had a custom joystick. It was a 4-player joystick, and I'm assuming you guys can imagine what the joystick was like with.
That is fantastic.
I took a picture of it while I was there with a bunch of people using it, and I actually have it framed on my shelf in my basement. I'm looking at it right now.
Sweet.
That is amazing.
Okay. I think my only gripe with Devolver is how many of their games don't come to Xbox.
I was surprised as hell when Enter the Gungeon came, you know, and I'm obviously another twin stick shooter. I was really happy.
They don't really push hard for consoles, period.
Well, I mean, it feels like everything they release is on PlayStation.
Yeah, at least nowadays.
I would have to double check. I think a lot of their stuff misses consoles entirely. But you're right. If it does come to consoles, it's PlayStation over Xbox. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, there's probably a relatively solid reason for it, but I wouldn't know unless I was able to look at their analytics.
Nah, I don't know.
Also, some of them are like limited exclusivity deals, and I remember N++ was like that for a while with PlayStation only, and then finally it came to Xbox One, like after a couple of years.
Well, I think like 2 years it was.
That is the odd thing. We get games on the Xbox that have been on PlayStation for like 3-4 years. That's an insane amount of time.
Hey, you guys got we got Gun World 2 on Xbox almost a year before.
And then you fucking traitor released it on PlayStation.
And a better version.
And a limited edition. Jesus. I don't get that shit on Xbox.
But yeah, at least with all these like ID at Xbox games, that's why there's more and more now, at least more ports, I guess, even if they're older games, there at least more and more stuff is coming out nowadays, and it's nice to see just the flow of games. Like, you know, when it started, there was not that many at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I can say from my perspective, just as a dev, the install base on PlayStation is much bigger. It's for a lot of indies, there's a large amount of like small niche genres that just perform leaps and bounds better with the PlayStation audience than they do on Xbox. And then I think the most important thing, getting through cert on Xbox is way harder. And that's just in my own personal experience. It's not, it's not even like it's like QA stuff, like real solid quality control, because some real bad games get through. I mean, look at Gunworld 1. but it's just a lot of, I can't say some of the stuff because of NDAs, but it's just a lot of really nitpicky stuff that makes putting a game on Xbox just more difficult, and depending on what type of game you're making, arguably not worth it. But again, also alternatively, flip side of that, from my perspective, Xbox is super great to work with. And as an indie, I can't imagine, I don't know, in my perspective, I can't imagine not wanting to work with them, because in my experience, they've been phenomenal with great communication and they're super supporting. So,
yeah, for sure.
It's just a really weird, indies have been really weird this whole gen for Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Both from somebody on the inside and as a fan on the outside. It's been a very strange landscape for them this gen.
No. Well, hopefully it'll change. I know it seems like the Switch is now the promised land for all indie games anymore.
Yep.
My biggest concern
are so good.
Is that it's already starting to get overcrowded. I think there were like 50 games released in December on the Switch. Something ridiculous.
I don't know off the top of my head, but yeah, it's a lot. The thing that's what I would argue is the bigger problem for the Switch, more than it being overcrowded, is just that there's no good visibility or real good way of searching through the store.
Yeah.
So games perform really, really well until they're off the top of the like recent games.
Oh yeah.
But I primarily play on PC. So I was like most of my indie games are just there. But I've found myself rebuying a lot of games just because they were on Switch, because of how nice it is to have this. I'm finding myself preferring to play games on that device over any other device that I have in my house.
Yeah, because you could play a game and watch TV at the same time.
Well, it's that I can have the console experience if I want it. The Switch Pro controller is a fantastic controller.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great multiplayer device because I can get local multiplayer anywhere. I don't need the dock. I don't need a TV. It's a great handheld. It has a beautiful screen. Like, it's just, I don't know. And for my life, it's super convenient because I've said this a bunch of times before, but I'm a dad, and having something that I can pick up and put down, both physically and like literally, like you can pause the games and put the thing to sleep and pick them right back up where they were, like, so easily. It's just super convenient. I love playing everything on that device. I'm in love with that device. I don't play, like, I don't want a bunch of AAA games on it. I know Wolfenstein's coming to it and Doom's on it, and I'm sure Doom is great on it, even though it's like technically the worst version of the game.
Yeah.
But it's like I don't want those games on. I don't even care. I want my Nintendo games and I want all my indies on that. I love that thing.
I bet you bought Shovel Knight again for the like the.
I bought Shovel Knight was the first game I bought for it.
Figured.
Like, technically, I bought Zelda, but Zelda. My Switch got here before my copy of Zelda did.
Nice.
So I turned it on and I immediately went to the store and bought Shovel Knight.
Format. I was thinking about buying that again, but also not only is it an awesome game, but, you know, I'm an achievement whore, so got to get that stackable achievement list on Windows 10.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No.
Fucking achievements.
Yeah. When is Super Gun World?
He's not getting the achievements, though. He's just preloading them for next year.
Hell no. No GTAs next year. So when's Super Gun World 2 coming to Windows 10 with a separate achievement list?
Oh, man. I've never even bothered looking into that.
Or when is Super Gun World 2 hitting the Switch?
Oh, man. maybe this year?
I mean, there's only like 3 days left of the year, so I'm guessing
year. I'm talking 2018.
Yeah. He's like ready for the next year already. He's like, fuck 2017.
All the rest of us are going to be writing a 7 on the date for the next 6 months.
Oh my God, legit.
Who's going to be over here like tomorrow, 2018. Bitches, I'm ready.
Fuck yeah.
So what we're waiting on is Game Maker Studio 2 to support Switch. That's what, like, anybody that's using Game Maker or has used Game Maker in the past, that's what they're waiting for. And they've been radio silent on it, but I'm hearing things on the inside that support is coming. So the minute that they actually release support for Switch with Game Maker, I am going to go back and port Gunworld 2 to Switch, like, most of it.
Nice.
And the game I'm making right now, Miss Fist, is also being developed using Game Maker Studio. So Like right now, that's only kind of slated as a Steam, Xbox, PS4 kind of thing. But if that export comes in, I'm definitely going to put it on Switch.
Nice. I do want to take a second to appreciate the fact that we've been doing this for a half hour now, and we went through one category for our best of the year stuff.
We did it.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
We're on pace for the world record.
Yeah, we should probably move on to another option. Yeah. Best character.
So the best Super Gun World 2 of 2016.
Motherfucker.
Sorry, no, go ahead.
How about best character of the year? New characters, we've seen new IPs and new characters come along. Any favorites?
Who's the accordion bird from Zelda? Cass?
Oh god, I don't remember the name.
Whatever, accordion bird from Zelda.
Accordion bird from Zelda. That's a good one. I'm going to go with Cuphead.
Yeah,
Cuphead and Mugman.
Yeah, Cuphead. I got to go with that too. I was thinking of Super Lucky's Tale also. I mean, I like the art style and everything and that, but you can't beat the art style of Cuphead. True. So,
no, yeah. You know what? I'm gonna throw a wrench in here. I'm gonna say Mugman.
Oh, yeah.
You sound underdog.
I'm gonna throw in all the wrenches, and I'm gonna say May from Not in the Woods.
Oh, you've been just addicted to that game.
I haven't played that.
I love it. Play it.
Oh, Night in the Woods. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been hearing a lot about that recently, and I haven't gotten around to it yet.
May Eternal. Is my new favorite character. It is funny because, like, my daughter has watched me play, and she's picked up, like, some of May's quotes and stuff from the game. And we'll just be doing random things around the house, and she'll peek around the corner and go, "Nightmare eyes." And you're like,
yeah.
I still gotta pick that up.
The humor.
That's the last thing I want my child to say to me.
I can get away with it. My kids are a lot older.
Yeah, but so that game is hilarious. It's not as creepy as
like when the 14-year-old does it as compared to like the 5-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
Going for like a
crimes, you know?
An 8-month-old to be like, "Daddy, play with me."
Oh, my God. Yeah, my kid's 2.5. And if he came up to me and said nightmare eyes, I'd just close the door and I'd walk out of the house and I'd never come back.
You know what, though?
You're Eternal's getting put up for adoption.
You know what, though? Eternal's going to hate me because when I said I played Night in the Woods, I did play it. I played like 2 or 3 hours, but guess what I did, Eternal? I did that.
You preloaded the achievement.
No, I did that little twin stick mini game or whatever in there or whatever it was.
Oh my God, you played Demon Tower the whole time.
Whatever that mini game was in the game itself, yeah. Terrible. It was fun.
Did you actually play any of like the guitar?
No, they have like little Guitar Hero mini game also.
There's like five. Some of those are really hard. Like I managed to get good on, I think 3 of them, maybe 4, but there's one that's just fucking insane. It's difficult, and now I'm getting all snotty because I'm talking. I'm sorry.
But yeah, that game is great overall for like the humor, and I know if you care about reading a lot of shit and listening to, well, there's no voice acting, but it's still hilarious.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Good stuff.
I'll have to check that game out.
I'm scared to like bring up the next topic because you guys might go on a tangent again.
Let's do tangent.
Next on my list, best graphics and visuals.
Super Gun World 2.
You fucker.
Every category. Just do it.
No, Cuphead.
Yeah, I have to go with that too. Got it.
The art like for Cuphead.
We've seen some technically outstanding games this year, like Horizon.
Exactly.
But in terms of art direction, like,
so unique.
Cuphead is astounding. The amount of work that went into that is staggering, and it looks. It doesn't just look super good. It looks outrageously authentic to what it is trying to emulate, and it does so in a way that doesn't compromise the gameplay. Because I mean, like they're going after an animation rate that's like something like 21 frames per second or something like that. But the actual gameplay elements are all actually 60, and it's they hit everything so authentically, so perfectly, so beautifully without compromising the game. Like it's staggering. It's like. From my end, as somebody who's made games, like it is just staggering.
Yeah, and the fact that they, the amount of work they put in, as you said, they actually, I'm sure you guys heard, they quit their jobs to actually focus on the game. They quit their day jobs or whatever.
Yeah, they had their house at risk and stuff like that. Like they
insane,
and they went all in, and they were on it for years.
Glad it turned out well for them. Yeah.
Dark sure Mika's on Fire is talking about Hellblade, and I just wanted to grab that from the chat for a moment just to briefly mention. I just started playing that. I'm maybe 2 or 3 hours into it, and
So what he's saying is to drop all the spoilers in chat right now.
If you do that, I will light my cat on fire.
If you do that, I will release Gunworld 3. You guys are going with best visuals and like the artistic sense. I'm going to go with best graphics and say Forza 7. Forza 7 on an Xbox One X, 4K, HDR. Holy fuck, it looks insane.
And the speed at it, what it runs at, right? It's fucking no frame rate slowdown or anything.
It is one of the most jaw-droppingly beautiful games. Like, this is the first time I've ever played a game, and I'm, like, talking to my wife, and I'm like, look at the pockmarks on the concrete and on the asphalt. Wow. Like, look at the trees. Look at the mountain. Oh my God. And she's like, are you okay? Are you going to have a stroke talking about how good this game looks?
See, I did that when I upgraded from the 360 to the One. I remember me and my friends, we were both playing Call of Duty, and we were just like stopping randomly in the map going, there was not grass here when we played on the 360. Where does this grass come from? Like, we were just so easily amused. So I can get how you could be like that over Forza, even though I haven't played it.
Yeah,
that would be me. I would just be like, look at the dewdrops!
I haven't played Forza 7, but I've played enough of the top-tier racing games to know that you're probably not off the mark. Those games generally, especially the Forza games, they generally look really, really good. It's not a very sexy answer, but I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that I don't doubt you.
Well, that's good to know that you believe me on this one.
I mean, depending on how low your standards are, not doubting somebody could be sexy as far as answers go.
But I mean, like, almost all games look really impressive to me because I've spent most of my time playing NES.
Yeah. I mean, if you've spent years of your life making a game like Gunworld, and then you look at actual graphics, I guess it does make sense.
AC Origins looks pretty good. This guy's saying in the chat. I've not played it yet, though. Anything from this, like, from October on, almost everything I've not yet played.
Yeah, same for the most part.
I feel
I'm just
horrible.
Now getting to Hellblade. I did play South Park, Fracture but Whole. But
speaking of South Park, next category, funniest game of the year. Because I think South Park has got to be the funniest game of the year.
Yeah, it's not even really like... It's funny because that's like a thing that like there is no competition really. Like most games have like some clever writing or like maybe some slapstick stuff that like if they're trying to be funny. But most humor in video games is juvenile, and I don't mean that in the sense that it's juvenile humor. I mean that in the sense that it's like it's not it's just lowbrow. It's simple. It's like, here's some game, and then here's a cutscene with something funny in it, or a couple lines of dialogue with something funny in it. But what Stick of Truth and then Fractured but Whole did so well is they actually find ways to integrate humor into the medium in a way that they can't do in any other medium. So, and like, things like in the beginning of the game, when you create your character, and I know this was big before the game came out, but it's just such a good example. When you create your character, and then when you get to the race, it's the quote-unquote difficulty. Like, that is a punchline delivered through gameplay mechanic. And that only makes sense in the context of a video game. And anybody who understands the design language of a video game and who plays that, they get that joke. And that's perfect. That is them learning how to deliver material, deliver punchlines and jokes through that medium in a unique way. And you don't see that in games that are trying to be funny. It usually really is just like, play this game for a minute and then here's some stupid funny dialogue or whatever. And South Park has like countless examples of them really just marrying gameplay and game mechanics and stuff like that with humor. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, I totally took over that one, but like, I have so much that I could say about Fracture but Whole. I absolutely love that game.
You just have to wonder if there's any competition for funniest game.
I'll save you the time to cut it short and tell you Eternal says Night in the Woods, right?
Yes, I fucking do.
Yeah, it is funny. It is
but
funny.
But I've never played South Park. It's just not my kind of humor. And so I'm not really
That's
into
totally
it.
That's totally fair.
But Night in the Woods, there's funny. Two paths you can take in Night in the Woods. And one of them is really serious and kind of dark. But the other is just so amusing, and everything about it is hilarious in every way. So, yeah.
That's why I want to check out that game.
I really hope you speak so
highly of it.
I'm going to do a third playthrough willingly.
Oh God!
That's what I should tell you.
Well, I definitely laughed out loud a little bit in that one. I haven't played a lot yet, but you know, it's got a interesting.
Like, I guess I could say that I sat the controller down and laughed.
Oh God!
I just had to contain myself for a minute before I could start playing again.
Yeah, I would go with that one too, just because I didn't play the South Park game and I didn't play that many other funny games that come to mind. So I guess that's what I said for that one.
Well, on the flip side of that, what is the most emotional game?
Most emotional game. Okay.
Oh. Huh. I've had some tearjerkers this year.
Like all what? The walking simulators?
Yeah. Look here. Me and my walking sims. Well, Edith Finch was definitely emotional.
Oh, yeah.
But there's been others. Like, there are some where I have just, like, straight up been teary-eyed at the end, and now I'm trying to remember what they were.
Narcosis with Hammy?
Town of Light was this year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, God, Town of Light had me sobbing. It's really, really good. But
like psychological?
It just broke my heart. Wow. It was about a woman who is put in a mental institution in Italy. And, you know, back in the days when they would put you in there for adultery and, you know, masturbation and shit like that. You're reliving this woman's, I say woman, but when she's put in there, she's only like 15, 16 years old. She's already been married off. She's just had this really shitty life and she just gets thrown in this institution and you're experiencing, you know, her mental capacity break down through this game. And it's stomach churning and heartbreaking, but it's incredibly good and it's so well done. And once you complete the game, you unlock a music video for the main theme of the song. And if it doesn't, like, grab your heartstrings, you're a monster because it's insane to watch after experiencing the game.
Hmm. Los Garcias in chat is saying Life is Strange Before the Storm. Cole, I know you played that. Thoughts on that one?
I did. And I had an emotional reaction to it. I think my reaction to Life is Strange Before the Storm was probably a little more motivated by the fact that I've had some of the same experiences that Rachel has in the game. And so I was drawing on my own experiences, but I was also experiencing them for a second time from a third person's perspective. So it was very similar and yet disconnected at the same time. I went through the whole, I found out I was adopted when I was 17 thing. And so it was just, it was emotional, but I don't know, maybe not quite. I still give it to Town of Light, but I can see where Life is Strange would get some attention too for that.
Nice.
I've not come across, like, I haven't got to play Life is Strange yet, and I want to. It's funny that, like, this category is something that normally I really would latch onto, because I definitely, like, get super into digging into narratives like this in games, because it's so often attempted, but so rarely pulled off in a really, really strong way, like a strong, moving way. But when it is, it's so engaging and so engrossing because of the medium. I don't have any great examples from this year, but, and I won't go too far into it, but Emily is Away 2 has been pretty emotional. Maybe in a personal level just for me because of like the stuff that, it's not necessarily about the stuff that happens in the game, but it's this just what it evokes and the nostalgia of it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the stuff that it reminds me of. But I don't know, are you guys aware of that game? Have you heard of it?
No.
It's essentially, it's a game that takes place essentially inside of AOL Instant Messenger.
I have heard of this.
It's set in like 2006 or something like that.
We may have covered that one, but I think my friend Jacob did it. I know I didn't because I don't really do any iOS stuff myself on the show.
Well, it's on Steam.
Yeah.
And I won't go really too far into it. I'll just say like that if you were like in high school during that time period that this game is set, high school or like early college or something like that. There's definitely a pretty strong nostalgic or emotional response that it can elicit. And I think it's pretty popular, but it's completely unknown to console gamers. And I think it can run on like any freaking machine. And it's definitely something that might hit you a lot more than you would think from the surface. But that's probably my best example of the year is Emily Is Away 2.
Nice. Next category, best surprise of the year, whether it's a surprising news announcement or a surprising game release, a game you didn't think would be good, but it was, just the biggest surprise of the year.
I would say going back to Cuphead again, just, that it's finally fucking coming out when they announced it at E3 and they're like, oh, it's coming in September. So I don't know. I guess that would be the most surprising to me. Like about time.
I'll go last. Come back to me.
I'm going to go with sweet, so, OG yeah. Xbox backward compatibility at E3.
That's, yeah.
I think the end result is kind of disappointing because there's only 10 fucking games right now, but the fact that they made it happen, I think that's my biggest surprise.
That is. I agree with you. And also disappointing that there's no achievements. You knew I was going to say it.
Game Pass. I think Game Pass was my biggest
game surprise. Pass?
Hmm. Like, it's one of those things, like, you think they could do it. You knew, you know, EA had done it. So, in a way, I didn't expect them to do it and kind of, like, step on EA's toes.
Mm-hmm.
And I also expected if they did do it, it would have been way more than $10 a month. I think for the amount of games and how few they've pulled off of it, it's really just been a surprise to watch
Game Pass. That's an astounding service.
It really is.
It's one of the things that I think I miss the most. I feel that I'm missing out on the most because Xbox is no longer my primary platform, which it was for the longest time.
Heartache. I think you just stabbed us all.
But it's definitely like when I see that service, it's definitely one of those things that makes me reconsider the notion of having an Xbox One X and having that service and having access to that. It's for the money, for the stuff that they give you. Game Pass is awesome.
It is.
Especially with that dollar thing. No promotion, don't worry. I'm not being sponsored, but no. Was it a dollar? Not a dollar right now
dollar
subscribe.
For
but then, of course, be careful. They don't tell you in the little text or anything. Guess what? You can sign up on your one, but if you want to cancel it, I found out the hard way. You had to actually go on the website, find it somewhere hidden in your account settings, and then find the little cancel button.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Otherwise, they charge you another $10. So. Yeah.
Worth it,
but it is worth its $10 if you're.
No, I agree. Especially if you're like if you hardly played any of the games before or don't have a big backlog already, then it's definitely worth it. Like one of my friends that just got a one that hardly even played 360 back in the day, like he was getting all these new games,
new
new
to you,
new to them.
I think I'm gonna go with Sonic Mania.
Nice,
and I think. The reason would be it's just that Sega showed off a Sonic game that seemed like for the first time since the Genesis that they actually had their head wrapped around correctly about what made Sonic good to begin with and what people liked about it to begin with. Not only did it look like it was like back on track, but it came out and not only did it deliver, it's arguably the best Sonic game ever made.
And it beats the shit out of the actual Sonic game that Sega developed this year.
Yeah, and it's like it's not only all of that stuff, but the fact that it's made by fans. If you think about just how insane the process is that led to Sonic Mania being made, that it was like this fan made his own custom phone port of I think it was Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and then it eventually got picked up by Sega, and then they eventually contracted him to actually produce a legitimate port of these old Sonic games to mobile platforms.
Crazy.
And then because of that relationship that happened, that got him a window to come in and pitch Sonic Mania to them, and that not only did they accept listening to his pitch, they got behind it, and this game happened.
And they let him do his thing.
Sega. Yeah, exactly. Let a major company like Sega would come in and be like, you know what? We're going to let some of these diehard, dedicated fans who've proven themselves over the years, we're going to let you guys make a game. You guys can do it. It came out and it's astounding. It's just like one of the weirdest, craziest stories. And that it came out and it's great. It's just,
mm-hmm.
It's just a really, it's just crazy.
Yeah. Well,
and
next...
then they turned around and screwed it up with Sonic Forces.
Yeah, they did. Fucking Sonic Forces. Next category, most damaging controversy. And I don't know if anyone can challenge Star Wars fucking loot boxes.
Oh.
I think I can.
Let's hear it.
I think, and this is maybe a weird opinion, but I think even though it's the less offensive version of it, I think Middle-Earth Shadow of War is the more damaging, because that's the thing that geared everybody up to be pissed off. And then when Battlefront hit, everybody was already mad. I think if all of the things had not, like, I think if that Middle-Earth controversy had not occurred, there would have been less outrage over Battlefront. I think Middle-Earth is what
I don't think Middle-Earth suffered because of that. So I don't think that's very damaging. People were irritated.
No, the reason Star Wars is damaging is because Middle-Earth inadvertently contributed to and increased the amount of damage that Battlefront got. I think it would have been less of an impact if Middle-Earth had not gotten everybody already ready to be furious over that practice continuing to such an extent. So I know it's like a weird roundabout way of saying it, because like I agree Battlefront is the worst. Like, it's the worst of the two. But I think because of Middle-Earth, it became worse. And so that's why I think like Middle-Earth was more damaging, just not to itself. It was more damaging by preparing people to have such an outrage to the industry in general. And like, it's just one of those things that Middle-Earth was bad, but Middle-Earth was like bad in theory. And then Battlefront came out and was all of the things that everybody was afraid about really soon after they were still mad. Like, it just, I think it was the 1-2 punch that created a gigantic storm, and I don't think the storm would have been anywhere near as big had it not occurred with that domino effect. So I know that, like, again, I know that's a weird way of looking at that.
You could say the same thing with Forza 7, because people shit all over that game with their loot boxes and how they changed the VIP. I still think Star Wars, the controversy there, was the most damaging, because I'm pretty sure it fucked up their relationship with Disney as well.
That's so hard to say. Like, because if Disney did not have a hand in pushing that stuff, then you would have to assume, yeah, it's really had to have had some sort of impact there. But, I mean, like, really...
Dark Mika is saying Star Wars started the loot box hate. No, there's been loot box hate for a while now. This is
Mass Effect 3 or earlier.
Broke the camel's back, pretty much.
There's been loot box issues for... I mean, it was existing. Like, I remember people were really mad about Dead Space 3 had loot boxes in it. Mass Effect 3 had it.
It's just
it took a long time for it to become huge.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, I think Overwatch was really the big one. Like, Overwatch doesn't do it in a horrible way. I don't want to go into a conversation about whether or not it's more acceptable just because it's aesthetic. I really don't want to have that conversation. But but really, Overwatch was a $60 game that has a loot box economy for its progression system, and people love it. Like, that's the thing that the industry was looking at and saying, this is acceptable now. And they just pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed throughout the year until EA was the one that pushed too far.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, how greedy can we get until, you know, fans like get fucked over and rage about it. And that's what happened.
There are, I'm going to confirm this. This is an exclusive for your podcast. There are loot boxes in Misfist.
You motherfucker.
But it's delivered what I feel right now. We'll see how I feel after the game comes out. I feel is a very funny, very worthwhile joke.
I'm looking forward to it then.
There are functional loot boxes that you can pay money for in the game, but they are just the punchline to a joke. And the game goes out of its way to make sure you understand that and try to stop you from buying them, but you can buy loot boxes in the game.
Oh, wait, with real money or game money?
With a combination of in-game money and real money.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Dick. If there's some more of your damn good puns in there, I've got to buy them. There you go.
Well, I'll start you with the best pun of all. It's not loot box L-O-O-T. It's loot box L-U-T-E.
Oh, fuck me.
Oh, nice.
There's collectible loots in the game. Don't worry, you don't do anything with them. They just hang on a shelf in your boxing gym, so they're just cosmetic.
God damn,
you know what I mean? Like, don't Don't worry about it.
God damn it. Oh, man. Moving on. Most disappointing game of the year. Not worst. Oh, most disappointing.
Yeah. Oh. This has been a really good year, guys. Like, really. This has been a really good year.
I think I'm going to go with Destiny 2. I really enjoyed the game. I even gave it a buy it rating on the show, but the end game is just not there, and it needs more to it. And it just seems every update they do pisses more people off.
Yeah, I would agree with Destiny 2 if we're talking today. If we're talking September when it came out and October when I was still playing it, I would disagree because I felt like even though I ran out of things to do in the end game, I still got a lot of hours out of that game and had an absolute blast while I was playing it. Destiny is one of those games that I didn't like. Destiny 1, I complained about it while I was playing it. Destiny 2, I didn't complain about it until I was done playing it. So, like, to me, that's like some sort of a, yeah, but, I can agree with you, I guess, in the sense that it is the end of the year and I'm not playing it anymore and I have no intention to return to it. And that's disappointing.
Yeah.
Battlefront 2 is immensely disappointing because I just wanted to, I have not even played it. I wanted to be all over that game. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I wanted it. I liked Battlefront 1. I didn't think it was great, but I liked it. And the fact that that game came out and I not only did not have interest in buying it, I am actively dissuading myself from buying it for a like philosophical reason. Like that's disappointing.
I'm gonna say Troll and I.
Like, oh yeah, that one.
That game. I had to look it up to make sure it was this year. That'd be because amazing. I had a lot of expectations for Troll and I.
No.
Probably too many, and it just really bombed on every one of them. And I was very disappointed.
I didn't think it was a horrible game, but I could see being disappointed. From what I hear, the Switch version is abysmal.
Yeah, that's actually my only knowledge of that game is the Switch version, and all of the reception was very, very negative.
Which that could possibly fit under worst game of the year, probably Troll and I on the Switch.
I'm changing my answer from disappointment because of the chat. This I forgot this even came out. Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh God!
The fact that a Mass Effect game came out and I have not played it. I don't ever want to play it.
And you almost forgot about it. That's
and that I forgot it even came out. I literally my heart just like sank when I looked in the chat and I was like, oh my God. Yeah, there was a fourth Mass Effect game.
It's just a reminder that it happened.
And I don't even wanna play it.
Yeah.
I would have like 3-4 years ago just to be like, fuck it, I gotta see, but now it's like I don't have the time. I don't have the time to sit there and be like, yeah, I'm gonna play this game that I know isn't good. Like
Yeah, the one I'm going to go with, I think Joe, the host Joe, played Road Rage. What a disappointment that shit was.
Wait,
I don't
what?
Know if you, Road
was
Rage.
Was there a new Road Rage?
Yes, they brought back Road Rage. And
not Road Rash, Road Rage.
No, not Road Rash, which would have been
I was thinking of Road Rash.
Even more awesome, probably way more awesome.
Nope. Right?
But yeah, Road Rage, what a terrible new version of it.
The funny thing is, that is such a janky, poorly put together game, and I had a blast the entire time I played it.
Yeah, but you had a blast because it was like it was so bad that you made fun of it, right? More like in that sense of enjoyment.
I legitimately had fun just driving around and beating the shit out of people with a crowbar.
That was where this fun stops, though. no point in doing the whole set of missions in the career, you know. Just go around bashing people.
I don't think it's a good game. I thought it was fun, though, which, you know, don't have to be exclusive.
Yeah. I guess what didn't help either was it crashed and froze a lot. I don't know if they patched it by now, but I don't know. It was just a very, you know, standard, basic. I was expecting more from it, especially for, you know, a game that with that series or whatever. I don't know if it's the same. I know it's like part of the actually, is it the Road Rash? It's not. It's a different series, right?
It's not Road Rash, and it's not Road Redemption. It's Road Rage.
Yeah,
very important distinction there.
Either way, I just didn't like it. Oh well.
So, would you consider that worst game of the year, or what do you guys think was the worst game that you played this year?
That was the worst game of the year for me, also.
Demetrios. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people were into it and thought it was funny, but I just fucking hated that game.
You just couldn't stand the toilet humor after a while or something? You, of all people?
I spite 1K'd it just because I was so mad at it. Oh, God. Made sure I got all the achievements because I didn't want anybody to be able to say, well, she didn't play it. No, fuck you. I 1K'd it and I hated every minute of it.
I don't know. I think if you completed a game, you can't call it the worst game of the year.
Oh, well, I disagree.
If anybody
sits down in any year and completes two worlds, it is the worst game of that year.
Oh, man.
I don't care. Like, two worlds is the type of game that gets worse the more you play it.
Wow. A poor man's Oblivion.
Oh, yeah, it's not even, it's so far.
Not even that.
Okay, well, that one doesn't qualify for this. So what do you think is the worst game in the year?
No. I'm going to argue that Two Worlds qualifies for every year because that's a sin none of us should ever forget.
I'm overruling you. You got to pick something recent.
Damn it.
I'm going to go with...
I hate Two Worlds so much.
There's a Switch game called Frontier Days. I thought that was awful. It's like a little town building thing.
Because, like, it takes a lot for you to just outright say a game was fucking awful.
Yeah, it was something I review. I don't give many deny-its on this show, because I try looking for the good in all games, but I'm pretty sure I gave that one a deny-it.
Damn.
So, Joe, worst game?
Wars, whatever that was. Boko Suka Wars? Did that come out this year?
Yeah, that one. It did.
Let's just forget about that one. Let's move on.
I'm trying to think. I have to have played some really bad games this year.
Okay, fine. Two worlds it is.
No, you know what? Like, the most recent thing I can think of is Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5, but that was 2 years ago, and I still can't stop thinking about it.
Oh, that was damn disappointing. Well,
here's my suggestion. Go play
too.
Demetrios and then hate yourself for it.
But I hear you. I hear
I'm trying to refresh myself. Like, I'm looking...
Yeah.
But I don't...
Tony Hawk fan too, and that was such a disappointment, but yeah.
I think I would accept Tony Hawk over Two Worlds.
I know it was 2 years ago. Bubsy.
Oh yeah, there was a new Bubsy this year.
Wow.
And it's real bad. It's real, real bad.
Yeah, I saw some videos on that. It looks fucking terrible.
Like, it's not even funny bad. Like, Bubsy 3D is... Oh, no. This did come out this year. Double Dragon 4.
Wow.
As somebody that makes retro style games, like, so I kind of like have my, you know, I have my head in that and stuff like that. Oof. The Double Dragon 4 is a bad video game. Like, it is not even as good as the NES ports of, like, Double Dragon and Double Dragon 2. Like, has anybody here played Double Dragon 4?
Yeah.
No, not that
one.
No.
I would probably call Double Dragon 4 more disappointing than worse than Bubsy. I don't think,
I think
Bubsy is tough competition.
I think Double Dragon 4 is real bad, and I think Bubsy is real bad, but also really boring. So, like, that makes it maybe the worst offender of the two, because it's not even funny. And
why not both, right?
Yeah, it's just, there's nothing even, like, worth, there's nothing worthwhile about Bubsy. Like, at least Double Dragon, it's like, oh, it's Double Dragon, and it looks like a Nintendo game. Like, at least there's that. Like, I know that's not much, but at least there's a Bubsy is just... Oh, my God, it's just awful.
Ben-Hur, never played it, heard it was horrible. Granted, it's free, but still. Carpe Adam 79. It was bad. I don't know if it was the worst of the year. I think being free helps its case.
I wouldn't even call it a game. That was a free advertisement, advertisement for the movie.
But Carnage, it was a free 1,000 gamer score. You had to love it. That was probably on your best of the year list.
Yeah, you knew I did that one.
1-2 Switch, there's a good one.
Oh, God, 1-2 Switch is pretty bad.
1-2 Switch.
That is definitely a good contender. Oh, man. Next one, we're done talking about the shitty stuff of the year. Let's focus on some good stuff. Best handheld game. This includes 3DS, Vita, and mobile, not Switch.
Oh, that's not fair. Listen, I'll allow it because it's not my podcast, but I want an asterisk, damn it.
Well, we're going to get to Switch game of the year, so that's why it's not included in this.
What about my laptop? If I can play a game on my laptop, is that a handheld?
No.
Damn it.
I mean, you're still mobile, so no.
Legit handheld game of the year.
I'm going to say Sarah and Death. I don't play mobile games very often. And I actually had somebody give me a code for the full version of Sarah and Death on Android. And I actually really, really enjoyed it. Just it's a little puzzle game. You know, it's very, you know, mundane. You just got to move the blocks around. But the puzzles were creative, and I never felt like I was just doing the same thing repetitively with it. And the whole story where, like, she's just unwilling to accept her death, and she's challenging death to a game, and that's the puzzles. It's really creative for a mobile game.
Nice.
I would probably say... go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm still kind of figuring out my answer.
Alrighty. The game that... I guess I don't have many options. I play a couple games on the Windows phone, but there's not much anymore. And I think... I'm pretty sure it came out this year even. It came out in February. It's called I.O., and they also put it on Xbox One. I'm not sure if you guys played that one. It was like a little physics... I don't know what you are in that game. You're like a little puck, and it's kind of like a 2D side-scroller, very physics-based, some puzzles, some action.
That was a pretty cool game.
Yeah, I guess I didn't play too many... You know, there's not too much coming out either for the Windows phone anymore. RIP. But, you know, that was pretty cool. And they put that on the one also. So nice.
I'm going to go with Metroid Samus Returns on 3DS.
Oh,
Metroid,
nice.
Metroid yeah, 2 think, finally getting the love it deserves.
I think I'm going to say the same answer with an asterisk being I don't have a lot of other options. But I'm playing through Samus Returns right now, and I'm a massive Metroid fan, and it's pretty exceptional.
Well, since everyone wanted this, how about Switch Game of the Year?
Easily, I haven't even played it, but it's got to be the new Mario, right?
Breath of the Wild is pretty goddamn phenomenal.
Both of those, definitely.
It's one of those things that, like...
It really does come down to Mario and Zelda, which...
Yeah.
That's a really awesome problem to have.
Yeah, and I'm going to do the cop-out and say, like, I don't really think that there is... I don't think either one of them is better than the other. I think like you can't even come down to which one plays better portably because they're both actually exceptionally good at allowing you to pick up and play for hours or for 15 minutes and make some sort of progress and have something, you know, meaningful happen. I mean, my God, they're both groundbreaking in their genres. They're both exceptional, like outstanding entries in their franchises. Like it's hard. That's hard. They're both exceptional. I think I would probably say Breath of the Wild, but there is an argument to be made that I see it actually popping up in the chat too. There is an argument to be made that Mario Odyssey is a legitimate Switch game and Breath of the Wild is a port. So maybe if you wanted to like lean one way or the other, maybe Mario, since it really is the game that was made for that platform, but that seems like a weird way of coming down on that. Have you guys played both the games?
I have not played either, yeah. But both look awesome.
I have played both. I am going to go with Breath of the Wild because I feel it did more for the series than Odyssey did.
Yeah, I think that's the same statement I'd make is that was a more revolutionary game for that
especially
franchise.
For the series. Yeah, I think they are both incredible games. Odyssey's probably the best Mario game to ever come out. I just think Breath of the Wild did a little bit more for the Zelda franchise than Odyssey did.
It's the other thing is it's not just for the Zelda franchise, it's for that genre.
Yeah,
I mean, like, there's something that to be said about Breath of the Wild coming out and showing game developers around the world that you can treat your players like they have a brain and trust that they are going to learn how the mechanics of your game work. They're going to learn how the physics and the interactive elements of your world work, and they are going to figure things out. especially coming from Skyward Sword, that held your hand worse than any other adventure game in history. Like, it is astounding how much that game stopped to tell you how to
press
do something.
The left stick to move.
It was literally, you'd pick up rupees.
Press
and
the
it would,
power
it would
button
like,
to turn your console on.
Oh my god. I don't even want to. I don't even want to think about it. But Breath of the Wild is just, they really did. It's down to even like quest stuff that I haven't seen really since games like Morrowind, where you'd find a person who'd give you some sort of rumor about something in the world, and then you'd get a quest for it, but the quest would have no markers on your map. It would just reiterate to you the hints that you had learned, and you had to actually follow the paths or look for things in the environment that these people are kind of describing to find these hidden areas to find treasure and stuff. And then the shrines, the way that they presented logic puzzles to you that didn't ever even have a definitive solution. The Zelda puzzle design from a designer's perspective has always been essentially a locked door and a key. Whereas sometimes it's literally a key, other times it's an item. There is one way to solve a puzzle and that's it. And Breath of the Wild was really a world with a sandbox, and it just gave you the tools, and it was like, there are so many ways you can do this, you are gonna figure it out.
Yeah.
And the way it just treated you, the way it treated you like you were an adult and you had a brain, and it let you just have these moment-to-moment adventures instead of guiding you along. That's an astounding video game. It's an astounding game, not only for that series, but for the genre. And I don't think it's exaggerating at all to say that for the next 10 years, people are going to be studying and learning and implementing things from that game.
No. The other reason I would say Breath of the Wild over Odyssey is I think if you would have swapped their releases and Mario was a launch title, Zelda came out in the fall, I don't think the Switch would have sold as much as it did with Zelda as the launch title.
Yeah, Zelda had a pretty strong word of mouth. There's a lot of buzz around that.
When there were more copies of Zelda being sold than Switches, that's something special. Moving on, PlayStation Game of the Year.
No idea. Don't have a PlayStation.
Super Gun World 2.
Yeah, you know what? Let's go with Super Gun World 2.
No bias there at all. I'm going to go with, just because I haven't played Horizon and I'm hearing such amazing things about it, I'm going to go with Final Fantasy XII, the remake. Because
that's a weird one, but yeah, I guess it is a remake. I guess it did come out this year.
Yeah, Final Fantasy XII is one of my favorite Final Fantasies.
Y'all didn't ask me what I thought for Switch either.
Oh, I didn't think you would have an answer.
So, I say not know it's for the Switch, and even though it's not on Switch yet, and then PlayStation 2. That's my answer.
I don't think Night in the Woods was on the PlayStation 2.
I didn't say PlayStation. I'm going to mute my phone and go back and blow my nose and cough some more.
Mika, you can't pick Detroit. It's not out. Xbox this Game is, of the Year.
Well, I've got a PlayStation 1. I'll keep it short, but I'm actually going to go with Uncharted Lost Legacy, which is much better than, I think it's much better than some people have given it credit for, and I think it's much better than it appears to be from the outside. It's a very condensed version of Uncharted, but the pacing is incredible. The story is really, really well done. The characters are far more interesting than the main cast from the core Uncharted games. I think, despite it being in a super popular franchise like Uncharted, I think because of how great this year was and because it was a spin-off title that was a more budget title, I think that one is going to be kind of criminally overlooked. But it's very good.
Good point. Anyway,
that's my piece.
Jvor in the chat saying Nier Automata. I've heard a lot of good about that one as well. Another game I'm kind of pissed didn't come to Xbox, considering the original Nier was on the 360. That's some bullshit.
Yeah, I want to play Nier Automata yet. I still want to play Neo, which I hear a lot of really good things about. I did play Horizon and really liked it, but Horizon doesn't sit with you. Like, it doesn't stick. It's a really freaking good version of that Ubisoft-style open-world game, but then, once you're done with it, I haven't thought about that game since I finished it.
Fair enough. But Xbox Game
Xbox,
of the Year.
Xbox, this is what you guys really want to talk about here, Xbox.
Yeah, but
I'm
going to
say my piece and get out of the way and let you guys talk. Sure. I'm going to say Cuphead.
I agree.
Hmm. I don't know. I mean, the art style is awesome in that. That's definitely an awesome game of the, like, you know, great game. But I don't know. I didn't play it. I didn't really get into it too much yet, though. I don't know what to say. Just a lot of indie games in general, I guess. Because I don't play fucking retail games, right?
Who does?
I have the same problem, though. Like, I don't play a whole lot of retail games. And so I'm sitting here like,
I know.
You just finished your Night in the Woods.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are generally more Xbox people. Did Windjammers come out on Xbox?
It did not.
Okay, never mind. I changed my answer. Windjammers, PlayStation Game of the Year. Go ahead.
I'm hoping that we'll see Windjammers next year. I'm thinking it might just be a timed exclusive thing, because when I, you know, you ask .emu, is it going to be coming to other platforms? They're like, we can't comment on anything right now, but it's out now on PS4. So it's like, yeah, it's coming out eventually.
Yeah, Windjammers is dope. And Cuphead's way more dope, and Cuphead's on Xbox. I played Cuphead on PC, but it is an Xbox game, so that's my answer, is Cuphead.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. I just don't know. There might be something I'm thinking of that I can't think of right now, but I've played so many indie games this year that I can't think of, like, other ones that I liked a lot right now.
I think Xbox has been kind of weak this year. Like, not weak just as a platform, because it's getting a lot of stuff, but it's getting things that are available everywhere else.
True.
Yeah. And so it makes it hard for Xbox to have any sort of, like, self-identity, especially for this year. It's just, like, Cuphead's there. And Cuphead's one of my favorite games of the year, and Cuphead's one of my favorite games of all time. But I don't even associate Cuphead as an Xbox game, because I played it on PC.
Yeah, I guess you could say the same about Enter the Gungeon, like we mentioned earlier. That game came out this year.
I mean,
for the one,
this doesn't have
really
to be an exclusive title. It's just the best game on Xbox.
That's the way that I try to look at it, as like at least something that has an identity on Xbox.
Yeah, so even like, though I need yeah.
Makes sense.
Candleman wasn't exclusive.
Cuphead's not exclusive, but really the identity behind Cuphead, you can relate that to Xbox as a platform.
Right. I see what you mean.
I mean, pretty much anything Microsoft publishes anymore is not going to be an Xbox exclusive, because it will be on PC.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm so excited that I really hope they don't like pull the rug out under our feet with Halo 6.
Guess we'll see.
Yeah, because Gears is on PC, and my God, Gears was the game that made me actually stop playing Xbox.
Really?
Because PC version is so freaking good. And I was playing that, and then I was like, well, why would I play this on Xbox when the PC version's better and I don't have to pay for Xbox Live?
I stopped.
That was the game that killed Xbox for me as a platform, because it was just astounding on PC. Gears 4 is so good. Anyway, go ahead. I'm bad at going on tangents.
You are.
You're
your only excuse for being here 20 minutes later than you planned.
Hey, like, I'm not, you know what, listen, I'll be here until I just randomly decide I'm gone. I'm just having a good time with you guys. Listen.
And that's the point of the show.
So yeah, my answer is all the indie games, right?
There you go.
Okay, Eternal, all the Walking Sims.
Everything Artifacts Monday.
All the Artifacts
Monday.
All the point-and-click,
Walking Sims.
Point-and-click games.
Come on, you got to pick one.
Wait, how about the word game I told you about on Windows 10? Microsoft Ultimate Word Games.
Words for Friends?
Not Words for Friends.
It's the Microsoft published, I don't know.
Wordament?
Of, like,
it's got Wordament. It got a couple things in it. Crossword.
It's got
puzzles.
Wordament, it's got a crossword, and it's got something else. Fuck, I don't know.
Something like Boggle.
So, Cole, Xbox Game of the Year.
Night in the Woods.
Shocking.
Takes another category. Takes another category.
All right. Final category. Overall Game of the Year. I'm going Breath of the Wild once again.
For me, it's got to be Daniel Tiger's Horrific Feelings. Because I downloaded that onto a tablet and I give it to my kid in the car and he doesn't cry anymore. So that's Game of the Year.
Makes sense. Valid reason.
No, like when I come down to think about like either Breath of the Wild or PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. And Battlegrounds hasn't come up at all in this podcast, but like it really is, for the majority of the year, Battlegrounds has been a PC game. So I know it wouldn't really be in your guys' wheelhouse.
What do you think of the argument people have that early access games shouldn't be considered for Game of the Year?
I think the way games are delivered now, the early access thing almost doesn't even really mean anything. Because there's a lot of games that come out as a 1.0 game that are arguably in the same state as some games that come out in early access. Like some early access games come out incredibly polished, just not content complete.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it just seems like it's just, we deliver games now. So many games are delivered as a service or as something that's just constantly being updated anyways, that early access is beginning to mean less and less as time goes on. In the specific case of PUBG, it is 1.0 on Steam now. So technically it did make it out both in early access and full release this year.
Yeah.
But I think it's, the game came out in 2017, whether it came out in early form or not, it came out on a storefront where you could purchase it and play it in 2017. And whether it's titled early access or not, that is the year the game became available for purchase and play.
Makes sense.
You know.
Well, yep. Scott and Cole, game of the year overall.
I would say, once again, I didn't play it, but, you know, the Nintendo fanboy in me still wants a Switch eventually, and I want to definitely get my hands on Mario Odyssey. So that's what I would go with.
Good pick.
I have Gun World 2.
I have not played PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, but just from the fact that it is the overwhelming powerhouse that it is, with how many active concurrent players it has and how much it sold so quickly.
It's astounding.
I think it's just on sheer momentum alone kind of deserves it.
And it's very good. It's hard to explain why it's good. If
like
guys
it is something
it.
I would play. If you've ever played the Division Survival DLC, it's basically the same concept, just with snow.
Oh, here we go. She's talking about the Division.
Oh, God.
I haven't played the Division since like a month after it came out.
I have 2,400 hours in the Division.
Holy man. Shit.
I liked it back then. Yeah.
It's not a walking sim either. Kind of, surprise,
I like shooters. I play a lot of Call of Duty. I have no shame. Yeah. You know, I like to pew pew in people's faces. So PlayerUnknown's is something I would play. It's just a case of I don't have the money for it right now, and I didn't get it for review. So I just have to wait.
Did you try the Fortnite free mode, the Battle Royale? Because that's very similar.
And I'll tell you,
I haven't played
it. I have an odd quirk about it because I just don't care for the visual style of Fortnite.
I want it to be real.
Fortnite is just so cartoonish. And it's funny because that kind of, you know, cartoony, goofy thing I look for in a lot of other game types. But when it comes to a shooter, I'm just like,
yeah, you want more of a realistic.
I want somebody's head to pop when I hit them.
I totally understand where you're going with that, too. For me, it's less about it being a shooter, because I like really cartoony shooters. I really loved Sunset Overdrive. That's one of my favorite Xbox One games.
Plants vs. Zombies, Garden Warfare 2. Also.
I like Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah,
I love that game. Battlegrounds, there's so much tension that it creates that I think Fortnite's art style contradicts that.
I see what you're
saying. Specifically with that game, it contradicts the tension.
Just too cartoony?
Yeah. It just doesn't feel like it's a match for the game type.
It's really not. But I hear a lot of good things about Fortnite Battle Royale. Yeah. I have not played it yet. I know it's free, so I've considered it, but I already have PUBG. I like PUBG a lot. I really
got to fire up PUBG. I hear so much about it, and, you know, might
as
well
try it out. Are
you
playing on an Xbox X?
I would be.
Okay. Yeah, the Xbox version's rough.
Well, it's about six months behind development. Wow. Yeah,
kind of. I mean, it's got some of the feature sets of 1.0 still in it. It's just not optimized well yet.
Yeah.
But if you're playing on the X,
2 weeks old right now on Xbox?
Yeah, but
that's true.
If you're playing on the actual Xbox One console and not the X, like, it's bad. I mean, like, you get a frame rate in the teens sometimes, and. Yeah. It's bad.
See, but that's what I'm worried about,
too. If you're playing on the X, it's not much better, but you can generally get a pretty stable 30 FPS. And in a game like that really matters. I think PUBG is totally fine on Xbox, but as it exists right now, the core Xbox One version is it's a little unacceptable, but it'll get there.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will. In due time.
Yeah, but it's a very fun game. Very fun. I'm curious to see how it lives on console over time.
I guess apparently there's, what, over a million copies have sold on Xbox already?
Damn. Yeah, which is pretty damn good. I think
they said a million in 2 days.
Yeah, and you know who had a part. You know who had a part in promoting it. I'm sure you know the
Mike Ybarra.
Mr. Mike Ybarra, who always tweets mm-hmm. about that game and streamed it a bunch before it came to the one. So,
yeah, we got to get him on the show one day.
He inherently loves the game. I can tell because he plays it so much. But still, it's funny how much the hell he promotes it out of it. You know.
Well, and he was spending months talking just about the PC version before.
Yeah.
What's funny is like it's out on Xbox, and he's still, if you look at his stuff, like he's still playing PC version, and he's just talking about the PC version one all the time.
Oh, interesting.
He's a very
he plays PlayStation and stuff on his streams too. He's like he doesn't. Yeah,
they do that to show they're not like fanboy, like, oh, we only care about our own products, you know. I know Major Nelson always like makes a tweet too. He's like, you know, oh yeah, I just played this awesome game on Nintendo. Great grats, Nintendo, blah blah blah. You could tell it was kind of like, come on, sucking up.
Yeah. Anyway. I am gonna put an asterisk on mine though, and just note I'm specifically talking about the PC version when I talk about Battlegrounds.
You're all about those asterisks.
It's just, you know what?
He used to put the word ass in unnoticed.
Damn it. Figured it out.
Look, see, I'm a parent. I know that trick.
Oh, man. But yeah, those are our Thing of the Thing awards for this year.
I was a part of this. I got to go out and just distract everybody. And it's a shame Super Gun World 2 didn't come out on top of more categories.
Well, you only have yourself to blame because you could have voted for it.
It's true.
We'll just have to look forward to hearing more about that one in our Thing of the Thing 2018 awards with the Switch version.
And the Windows 10 version with extra achievement lists.
And the Windows Phone version.
I'm going to save the Windows 10 version for 2019 so that every year Super Gun World 2 can be out.
No, Joe, 2019, we'll be talking about Joper Gunjo 3.
Yeah, Jip Jip. I'm gonna make a game called Enter the Joe, and it's just gonna be a really inappropriate, terrible.
You literally enter the Joe in multiple areas.
It's the sequel to Genital Jousting.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh good. Let's see how quick I can go to jail.
How quick you can Joe to jail?
Oh, puns.
Oh,
Super
God.
Super Fun World 2.
Yep.
Anyway, Joe, I don't know if you want to stick around or not, but we do have a lot more show to take care of with news and reviews, so it is up to you if you want to stick around or not.
I think I'm going to bounce out. I think I've held you guys up enough.
Well, you have yourself a wonderful night, and we'll have to get you back on again in 2018 to chat about your new game when it's ready to go.
Okay, cool. That sounds like a top-notch idea.
No, it doesn't. Nice. Like an awful, awful idea, but we're going to do it anyway.
Okay, cool. I'm along with the train wreck.
Have a good one, man. Enjoy
the rest of your show. It was great hanging out with you guys. I'm going to go do something else.
That sounds all good. Right. And you have a wonderful and safe New Year.
Something more productive than this show. No.
Literally anything.
You also have a good New Year.
All right, take care, Joe.
See you, man.
Bye.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we do have more show we got to take care of. Some quick news bits happened this week. PlayStation Plus lineup was announced for January, and I think it trumps what Xbox is offering up. PlayStation 3 is getting The Book of Unwritten Tales 2 and Sacred 3, two pretty solid games, decent enough. The Vita is getting Uncanny Valley, which is cross-buy with the PS4, and Psycho Pass Mandatory Happiness, which is also cross-buy with the PS4. So you're pretty much getting them on both platforms there. And then the PS4 is getting Batman the Telltale Series and Deus Ex Mankind Divided. I think that's pretty solid lineup.
That just came out, didn't it?
Hmm?
Is that the one that just came out?
Deus Ex?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what was it, this year or last year?
Let me check. I think it was this year. Deus Ex Mankind?
Divided, yeah.
Divided? No, it was actually last year in August.
There you go. So a year
August old. August 2016.
But yeah, I think that's a pretty solid lineup for PlayStation next month. They're also going to be doing a bonus game with Starblood Arena for the PlayStation VR through March 6th. So another bonus PSVR game, which I think is pretty neat. Sony's bringing it. I think they've got a hell of a January. And to remind everyone, 360 has Tomb Raider, Underworld, and Army of Two next month, which, eh.
Then, which doesn't even give you all the Army gamer score. Two's, either.
Yeah, Army of Two servers are shut down.
Yeah.
I actually have Army of Two. It was from back when I bought games.
I don't know. I wasn't a fan of the original Army of Two. I think Army of Two, the 40th day, was amazing, though.
Didn't they give that one a while back also?
No, I think they gave the Devil's Cartel.
Devil's Cartel.
Yeah, okay. Which was another shit game. But 40th day is one of my favorite action games.
I never played a lot of the Army of Two games, but I remember they were saying back then, at that time at least, they were like co-op incentive and some of the best co-op experiences. But I think now they're kind of outdated. Not just, obviously, graphics are outdated, but, you know, the co-op gameplay and the experiences.
And it doesn't help that the servers for the original Army of Two were shut down.
That's the other thing.
Fucking what's the point?
And I love how they say, oh, a certain amount of gamer score you can get this month. Well, no, you can't get that gamer score because some of the servers are fucked. All the servers are down.
It would be nice if EA would fire them back up for, you know, half a year or something to let people actually play it online again.
That would help.
Mika, Devil's Cartel was the first, and I liked it, so fuck you. Well, you need to play the 40th day then because it beats the shit out of the Devil's Cartel in every way. And then Xbox One has Zombie and The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing 3, which I'm excited for Van Helsing. I think it's a fun series, but, overall, I think PlayStation has the better month easily.
Yeah. I mean, the, what's it called? This is like the third, Van Helsing game. I mean, I'm not complaining really. Cause, they're pretty decent and it has online co-op and stuff, but what is it like the third one, I think, on Game with Gold?
Yeah. We got the first one. Now we have the third one, and we got that Death Trap, which is pretty much just really all the tactics stuff.
I like the tower defense, tower defense combined or whatever. That was cool.
I think it's funny that we didn't get the second one, but we've gotten all the others.
I guess they're just like, oh, we gotta make one of them. People want to buy it, you know?
Yeah. Not all great news, though, for Sony, as they are shutting down the online for Gran Turismo 6 at the end of March. Offline play will still work, obviously, but the community, the open lobbies, quick match, seasonal events will all be discontinued. Shame it's ending, but given it's a PS3 title from 2013, it's not really surprising, especially when you look at something like Gravity Rush Remastered, which isn't even 2 years old, is getting its online services shut down in January.
Damn, isn't that a twin stick, by the way? I need to play that.
No, Gravity Rush is not a twin stick.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
No.
Then fuck
not
it.
At
no,
all.
Just kidding.
And it's on PlayStation, sure it's right. So you can't play it anyway.
I know. I gotta get one just for all the twin stick games.
Trophy.
Yeah.
And then last little bit of news I have is that the Nintendo Switch has officially passed the PlayStation 2 to become the best-selling console of all time in its first year in Japan. It's now sold over 3 million units since launch. And its first year still goes until March.
That's amazing. Wow.
So
they're definitely making up for the failure that was the Wii U.
Yeah. So this is now on pace to become the best-selling console of all time, if momentum stays.
Good for them. Yep. That's awesome.
So, yeah, I think it's a smidge popular, huh?
It's funny, because when it was announced, everybody was like, what the fuck is this thing? And then it's just like, okay, never mind, I'm going to put it on my genitals because I love it so much.
That
how
works.
Quickly that turned around.
I want to dip my balls in it. So
I mean, that seems like the solution. If you really love something, you just touch it with your genitals.
Pretty much. It's all about the balls. But that's all the news I got. It's end of the year, so not much news happening. Anything y'alls wanted to discuss?
More ACA games, and I'm sure it's not that new. You probably might have talked about it on a previous show, but now we're getting Windows 10 ACA games too. What's next? We got Apple TV, Windows ACA, Neo Geo game.
Probably.
What? You should be excited. That's more achievements for you.
I know, but more fucking money.
They're only $8
for the same games over and over.
They're only $8. I know,
they're damn tempting.
Those things used to be fucking $250 pop.
That is true. That is true. The rarity back then.
So $8 for one of those, or even on the Switch, like the Arcade Archives versus Super Mario Brothers just came out, which is the arcade version of Super Mario Brothers, which holy shit, to actually have that on a console is mind blowing. It is awesome. So I love the Arcade Archive series. And yes, I guess I own all of them.
In other news, since I see Xylo's in chat, Gems of War, I've been getting back into that game. That's like his favorite game.
Have
you? Been really addicted to it again. A lot of people a lot of friends are getting back to that game. So I figured go back into it.
It got new achievements.
Yeah, that kind of helped me.
That's the only reason you would
that. Yeah, it's not really news. It's not really news.
You predictable bitch.
News to me, not news to you guys.
You predictable bitch.
That's how the show's going to start.
I just
coined it. Did we talk about, and I just miss it in a previous show or something, about the culling developers stopping?
We didn't discuss that. I saw that on Reddit earlier this week where someone was like, the culling is on sale. Don't buy it. What's the story there?
They are stopping work on The Culling because they've decided to make a new game. And so The Culling will not be coming out of Game Preview or Early Access.
Wait, I think didn't it come out of Game Preview, though? Because the achievement list is there, isn't it?
No.
Game Preview could still have achievements.
Some Game Preview. Yeah, some Game Preview games have achievements.
I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah, fucking so Snooker is still in Preview, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
But it is not, they're not going to work on it anymore at all. They posted December 15th, they posted that it was their final dev blog for the game. They weren't going to do literally anything else. They're just starting a new title.
And I feel like, probably the reason, I'm guessing, but I'm speculating, maybe it was Friday the 13th. And
Dead by Daylight.
Dead by Daylight might have just, beat him to the punch.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems to me like The Culling was really popular on Steam, and it just might not have took off on console.
Too little, too late, I guess.
Maybe.
So they've just decided to wash their hands of it and
move on. That's a bummer. Sucks for the people who bought into it.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the first ones we've seen that has just gone poof from Game Preview and not moved anywhere from that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of reminds me of what was it? Blues and Bullets.
Oh, yeah, that one.
From A Crowd of Monsters that was supposed to be an episodic thing. Two episodes came out, and then, the release date for the third one came and went. And I think they said, well, the game isn't canceled, but we're having some difficulties right now. We'll be sure to keep it updated. And that was, the last anyone heard of them.
There was another game, but I'm probably going to forget it. I can't think of it right now. But it was an indie game. I think it came out either this year or last year. It was on the one. But it's also Game Preview, but it hasn't come out of Game Preview, and we haven't heard anything. Oh, Blast Brawl 2, this one. I don't even know if it was this year. Did you play that one? It was last year, October 2016. Brawl.
That wasn't Game Blast Preview, Brawl was it? 2.
It's still... Wait, maybe... I thought... I could be wrong, but I think it's still in Game Preview, yet the achievement list is also out. I could be wrong about that one. I'm not sure.
I don't think that one's Game Preview, is it?
I could have sworn it was Game Preview, but...
I don't think so.
Maybe not.
You goofy bitch.
I don't know what parties is on.
Anyway.
Oh, man. But yeah, if that's all the news, we could probably dive into the reviews, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, just to clarify, at least it was in the Game Preview program. I just looked on True Achievements here. It says it's, developers' mind's eye have announced a new fast-paced action title. Blast Brawl 2 Bloody Boogaloo will be coming very soon to the Xbox Game Preview program. But I don't know if it's still in it or not. But anyway.
I'll be damned.
Yeah. All right.
Cool. Well, reviews. First game to talk about is called Romancing Saga 2, developed by Art Piazza, published by Square Enix, released December 15th on Xbox One, Windows 10, Nintendo Switch, Steam, PS4, and PS Vita for $24.99. It is on sale on all platforms for $19.99 through January 8th, so don't sleep on that one. Funny enough, while the game is an Xbox Play Anywhere title across Xbox One and Windows 10, it is not cross-buy between the PS4 and Vita, which is kind of surprising. sit upon the throne of the Varenz Empire and control several generations of rulers in a valiant battle against the Seven Heroes, a dynamic freeform scenario system, a hallmark of the million-selling Saga RPG series, enables you to take command of a variety of protagonists across the Imperial succession and experience the history of a nation as it grows and changes based on your actions. Let's get this out of the way. First off, this is an old school retro RPG. This is something that originally released on the Super Nintendo, never made it to America before it got a mobile release a year or two ago. And now that same mobile release has been ported over to pretty much every other platform under the sun. The game at its surface at its core is still very much an old school RPG. It has gotten a little bit of a facelift in terms of visuals. It has one of those, it's nitpicky with me. I'm not a fan of retro style games that have pixel graphics, but the text is like super crisp and clean text. If you know what I mean, like if I'm playing a retro game, I want it to have pixelated text. I don't want it to have like Times New Roman shit like that. It takes me out of it. It's weird.
Right.
This is a very unique RPG in the fact that there is not many core characters that you're going to like named characters that you're going to be invested in. This is very much a game where you're going to lose members all the time. Once they're dead, they're dead. And you just recruit someone new. This is not meant to be a game where you start with four characters and you go through the entire game with the same lineup. You're going to lose characters. You're going to move from like father to son to grandson to great grandson and just keep going on through generations of this game. It is a massive game, lots to do in it. The battle system is what you would expect out of a retro RPG where, sorry, shit in my throat, retro turn-based RPG battle system. The big twist with this one is the formations that you can have where, you know, the characters in your party are going to be laid out differently based on the formation you're using. And you have to try and lay it out so the tank characters in front, the weak people are either surrounded or they're in the back, harder to hit. Because again, when characters die for good in this game, they're gone, like completely gone. When a character falls in battle, that's not the end though, because not only do they have hit points, this game also has life points. Hit points regenerate after every battle. So if, you know, your characters are low on health, as soon as the battle's over, full health. You don't have to fuck around with healing everyone and using potions and everything else. You're just back to full health. If someone falls in battle, they lose one life point. They can then continue to be attacked in battle while they're down. And if they get hit again, they lose another life point. Most characters only have maybe, 8 to 15 life points, and those don't regenerate. You could sleep it in, you could rest up, whatever. Those don't come back. Once those hit zero, character's gone, dead for good.
Is there a pool of like tons of different characters, or is it a point where if you run out, then it's over and you have to start the new game?
The character, it's pretty much unlimited number of characters, but when you lose someone, you're going to start back at square one with a lower level character. Any equipment that person had on them is gone. Like I had a really good sword that I had equipped on someone and they died and
damn,
fuck, I just lost a really good sword. So
yeah,
I did not think ahead with that one. I thought maybe it would give me all the equipment back. Nope. There is apparently a potion that you could get in the game that will restore life points, but it's ridiculously expensive and it's not really worth it considering, you'll eventually get someone to replace them. There's a ton of different classes you could get. It starts with only, a fighter, an archer, the characters don't level up. It's their abilities with what weapons they have equipped that those level up. Like if you attack enough using a sword, your sword skill will go up, or if you use a bow, your bow skill, staff, stuff like that. The other fun twist with this one is occasionally during battle, your character will learn a new skill. It seems to be completely at random when it happens. And it also comes down to whatever weapon you have equipped, where if you select attack and then, you know, just randomly, you'll bust out this brand new special attack that you haven't seen. And then you just learn that and you can use that for the rest of the game. Sometimes it might be a defensive one, like a parry or a deflect, which pretty much just replaces whatever you were going to do that turn. But that's how you learn new abilities in the game. Just completing battles isn't going to do enough for you. It's going to be very randomized. This is one of the least structured RPGs out there, and it's a really refreshing change of pace compared to how linear a lot of RPGs can be. I know a lot of RPGs, you know, they have a sense of exploration, like, oh, I could visit all these different areas in a cave, but in the end, it still kind of like funnels you in one direction with the story, and this feels a lot more open than most other RPGs. That said, it is a very tough game to get into, especially with how unique the Saga series is compared to Final Fantasy. You know, it's not a casual friendly game. And for most people, this is going to be more of a try it than any kind of like jump in. You must own this, with the exception of Xbox gamers. If you're an Xbox gamer, buy this fucking game, please.
Cause it's like the only good RPG right now, right?
Square Enix has been ignoring the Xbox like crazy when it comes to RPG re-releases. The fact mm-hmm. that this released on Xbox One and Windows 10.
Oh yeah,
play buy anywhere. This. Support it is play anywhere. This game. Let's show them that there's an audience for RPGs on the Xbox One. Support this game and buy it. If you have
and
multiple,
it's on sale.
Yeah, it's on sale for $5 off. If you have multiple yep. systems, get it on Xbox. Fuck the other platforms.
Right. Make RPGs great again. Put them Seriously. On Xbox One.
hopefully if this game sells well enough on Xbox and Windows 10, Square will get the hint that, hey,
yep.
maybe we should bring some other games. Maybe we'll see Kingdom Hearts. Maybe we'll see the older Final Fantasy games show up. We just have to show that there is an RPG audience there. So I implore you, if you own an Xbox One or Windows 10 and you're looking for an RPG, even if you're not sure this one would be up your alley or not, give it a shot. Show them that there's an audience for RPGs on Xbox. Please.
Yeah, makes sense.
Buy it. Buy it, buy it, buy it. Unless you're on PlayStation, fuck it. that's terrible. It really is a cool, unique game, though. It is definitely not going to be for all RPG fans. It's going to be a very niche audience just because of how yeah. unique and different it is compared to other RPGs. But it's really cool once you get into it.
See, that's the other thing is that we have to wonder, like Xylo said here in chat, possibly like timed exclusives. What if these other games or just in general are exclusives and, you know, Square Enix won't let them come to the One? Do you think that might be an issue, too?
I don't know if there's anything that's preventing them from bringing any games to the Xbox One.
Not Square Enix, but like, you know, Sony, maybe like they're like exclusive deals or something.
It's possible. Sony or cocksuckers yeah. when it comes to exclusivity deals.
Yeah.
I've discussed that on the show many times that I hate what Sony does with exclusivity contracts. Right. But I don't know. I know the one hurdle with Final Fantasy 14, a lot of people want to see that come to Xbox and even on the Switch. The big hurdle there is Sony with their crossplay bullshit. Yeah,
definitely.
So I don't know. Hopefully we'll see something come over. I want more RPGs on Xbox. And again, Romancing Saga 2, if you have an Xbox One, buy this fucking game. Show Square Enix that they could release RPGs on our platform. Please.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Oh, man. Next game to talk about is called It's Quiz Time, developed by Snap Finger Click, published by Vision Games Publishing. It released December 15th on Xbox One for $19.99, previously available on Steam and PS4. Go head-to-head with a brand-new massive quiz game on console and PC, featuring our devious AI game host, Sally. Take on It's Quiz Time's catalog of over 25,000 questions. Face off against up to 8 players using your smartphone, go solo, or use live show mode to stream and play along with your audiences. Cole, what'd you think of this one?
I think I'm waiting for Carnage to get interrupting me out of the system so I can start this.
You know, I'm going to interrupt you on this one because I just played this on stream today on the ID at Xbox stream. They were streaming this
game.
And I played it with them. Yeah. Yeah.
I played it with my daughter, and we had a surprisingly good time. Some of the best things about it is that if you are playing, you actually put in your ages and stuff, and if there is somebody that is playing that is under the age of 14, it adjusts the questions for that. And so they become family-friendly automatically, and it also kind of adjusts the types of questions that it asks to kind of be in the range of things that kid would know. Like, it doesn't purposely try to throw in anything insane. There were a couple times the question would be like, you know, what this actor was born the same year as, and it would pick somebody from the audience that, you know, that was playing. So, like, you kind of needed to know how old the people around you were that were playing with you. But it did just, like, when I was playing with number one, it would adjust so that it was like actors and actresses or musicians that she would be familiar with, and she wasn't just totally left out in the cold and getting stomped just because she was younger. If you are just playing with all adults, though, you can set it to not do that and not adjust for ages, and then the questions can be a little more unruly. You can also set it like that if you're playing solo mode. Carnage looking for opportunities to interrupt me. You can also set it for solo mode, where you just play rapid fire questions. It'll ask you a series of 30 trivia questions, and your goal is just to answer as many of them as quickly as possible. And the more you do, the higher score you get, and it gets uploaded to a leaderboard. But the whole bread and butter of It's Quiz Time is playing this as a party game, and it's even meant to stream. The streaming quality, the integration for streaming is just unmatched. It includes YouTube integration, it includes Twitch integration, and it includes Mixer integration. You can choose to, you know, which one you're going to be streaming on and adjust accordingly. There are extra options for, you know, I'm going to be streaming and I need delay, or I don't need a delay, or, you know, things like that.
I appreciate the fact that this game was apparently built with streaming in mind.
It really was. And it just shows in the quality of, like, the setup options and stuff available for streaming. I wish I was more of the streaming kind. I'm just not big on streaming myself, but this game is definitely made for it. But it did fare well just the same as far as playing it with a group in a room goes.
Exactly, and like, I'm back just to interrupt you. No, back just in time. No,
you were quiet for too goddamn long.
Too quiet. No, but you're right. It's definitely awesome for streaming.
Well, like, you said you played it, Carnage. What did you think?
Yeah, I like the concept and the way it works. If you guys remember 1v100, mm-hmm. that they had that on Xbox 360 a while back, years ago, and that was a lot of fun, like live game show. This is kind of similar, although you can only play with a couple people. But then again, I guess you can get a bunch of people in the chat room. Yeah,
you can get up to eight.
Yeah, and the whole experience, like you said, is with like Jackbox games. It's awesome how you can interact, you know, play with everyone and watch it live and whatnot.
But the biggest hitch to compare it to a Jackbox game is that with Jackbox games, you load up the game and you go to jackbox.tv and then put in your room code. For this,
you need the Android. For this,
you have to download an app.
App.
And so that was the other hitch. Like, when we play Jackbox games, you know, one of us will be on my daughter uses a Chromebook and one of us uses a tablet, and we're on all kinds of different devices. But this, it was just, okay, I hope your phone's charged because we're going to play this now. I have to review it tonight. Hold on, wait, let me charge my phone. And I did find that the app was kind of on battery life. It did drain pretty quickly. Seemed like we got about 3 to 4 hours of playtime in for each session before I was just like, yeah, I've got to plug in. I'm sorry. I'm done.
Yeah, not only that.
I was going to say, to show how much of a hurdle this can be, Dark Mika in the chat says, I don't have an app phone. I can't play this game. Fuck it.
Yeah.
So there's going to be people out there who automatically can't play it.
And yet they'll probably still let you buy the game, which will be like, damn, what the hell now?
Oh, yeah. I don't know that there's any mention of the whole app until you've bought and loaded the game. I didn't see anything of that. It's a shame because it's really fun.
Yeah.
I actually didn't think that I was going to do that well. I'm not particularly a trivia person. I know, like, shit from the 90s. And once you start getting me into shit that happened, like, last year, I don't know new musicians, and I don't know newer movies that have come out. I play video games. That's my entertainment.
Oh, yeah, there were a lot of video game categories.
And there were, and I thought it was really neat, too. Like, you could expect them to have questions about, like, Call of Duty and Final Fantasy and stuff, but there were questions about indie games. Like, it was asking about when Worms was developed and who published, you know, this or what was developed by Team 17 or whatever. And I was just like, wow.
I agree.
I didn't expect all of that, you know, the little indie games to be thrown in there along with it.
Yeah. Some of the questions were too easy, though, I think. I feel like from what I played so far, I think it could make it a little more challenging. Maybe, I don't know if they're gearing it towards younger. I don't know. I mean, then again, it's hard to say. I don't know. What do you think?
I missed, like, you kind of mumbled there, and I missed.
Oh, you didn't.
Take the dick out of your mouth, Scott.
Yeah.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Okay, so what I was saying was, I think a lot of the questions felt pretty easy. Not trying to brag or anything like that, but, you know, they...
You're show off. No, I think...
No, for real.
I think a lot of them... Again, they're geared toward the age of the audience, so there are things that they really do kind of expect you to know. And there are achievements for everybody that's playing, getting all the questions right in each segment, like each type of segment. There's different little mini games in the rounds, and so there's one that was called Describe It, for example, and it gave you a few different prompt options, and you could pick from, like, a movie or a topic, like, you know, anatomy and physiology or whatever, just something crazy. And then you had to talk about it for a minute, and the other people playing had to listen to what you were saying and find words that were on the clue list. And if you said those specific words, you got the point for it. And, so, you know, like, those could kind of ramp up the difficulty. Like, that was the particular segment that number one kind of struggled with. Like, she didn't seem to get the role. She was just like, I'm going to talk about it. And then I'm sitting there going, yeah, but you're not saying these words. I mean, this particular set of words.
Also, you know. I'm wondering if you had any technical issues with it. Cause I didn't play it too much, but the two times I did out of three, especially one on the stream itself, it didn't look good for them when the thing crashed and she had a host, you know, when they were streaming it earlier.
Really?
And yeah, it crashed the app and mine also froze. So, and then I tried joining back in and it said the room is full. It doesn't even save your spot. So it's like, you're shit out of luck. So I was just like, you know, at that point, I didn't even feel like joining again. It was kind of like messing up the, but the game itself is, you know, when it works, I guess it's, in my opinion, it's pretty
cool. I think that's just you breaking shit, Carnage.
Yeah, blame K4. Hashtag blame K4, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hashtag for a reason, dude.
Hell yeah.
I played it a little bit watching someone else stream it. I will say, if you're going to be streaming this, definitely make sure you have the option set, because... They didn't go into the options and make sure everything was set properly. So by the time the actual question would show up on the screen for the stream, you would have like 10 seconds to actually answer it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that stuff like racist or homophobic shit, like, you know, people being offensive without filters and stuff, because you can set that stuff at least. I'm pretty sure. I know in Jackbox.
I don't think there were any instances where it asked us to input anything that gave that kind of opportunity.
No,
like,
but
most of the stuff was. Oh, yeah. No, like, if people have an opportunity to input something, then you can guarantee at least some random troll is going to be waiting there looking for the opportunity to put in the room code and put in something racist. But, I mean, apart from when you set up the app, you put in a name for yourself to show up. And my daughter has nightmare eyes because we'd been playing Night in the Woods.
I love that part of the game, though. I put in Carnage, and it said, how do you pronounce that? And then I said, motherfucking... She said, hello, motherfucking bitch.
Sally is the best host ever because the game really goes all out to like get information about you to use... for the game, and she will give you some hell. Like, she was making cracks about my age and all kinds of shit while we were playing.
Good
and
I was for just you. Like,
if I wanted this kind of hassle, I'd be in a Twitch chat right now. About how old I am.
Well, I guess the only question left is $20. What is your verdict on this one?
If you like to play party games and you've got a group around, or if you're a streamer looking for something to have a good time, this will do it. Play it, you know, play it, buy it. It's good. We had a lot of fun. I see this next month as my oldest daughter's birthday, and she always has like a great big long weekend, long sleepover. And the Jackbox games are pretty popular for that big ass sleepover where everybody drives me crazy for four or 5 days. And so this is definitely going to be thrown into the rotation. So I have to buy it for sure.
I would say I agree. Like you said, it's good for, you know, playing online. If you're playing in a stream or if you have a lot of people over, then definitely go for it. But if you're just going to buy it for single player, then not worth it, obviously.
I'm glad that they did include some single player content, though.
That's true.
Especially when you look at the Jackbox games and there is nothing single player.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. And then again, the multiplayer stuff does require the app on the game's description page. At the very, very bottom, it says, note, some features require the It's Quiz Time companion app. The app requires smartphones compatible with at least iOS 7.0 and Android 4.4 KitKat.
By some features, it means all of them, because even the solo mode requires the app to play controller.
And once again, fucking rip Windows Phone. No.
Yeah.
Like Xylo was saying in chat, he's like, no Windows Phone either. No Windows Phone app. I mean, come on. It's a free app anyway. Why can't they just put it on there?
Well, speaking of things that Microsoft has ignored, the next game to talk about is called Boom Ball 3 for Kinect.
What a segue.
Developed and published by Virtual Air Guitar Company, a.k.a. the only company that still gives a fuck about the Kinect. Released December 22nd on Xbox One for $9.99, and once again, requires the Kinect. It's boom time again. Boom Ball 3 upgrades the classic Kinect ping pong game, taking you through new scenic landscapes featuring a festival of cute cubic critters suitable for all ages, shapes, and sizes. It's more Boom Ball. It is a Kinect game. You stand there and a ball will come flying at you. You use your hands that have magical paddles attached to it to hit the ball towards the cubes on the screen and destroy them all. So pretty much like a 3D Arkanoid or Brick Breaker, where you are the paddle. The Kinect functionality seemed to work pretty okay. I have a fairly small living room, and for the most part, it worked well for me. My cat jumped on my lap. There were some instances where I felt like I was hitting the ball, but it seemed like the ball just went through my paddles, which was kind of frustrating because I never ran into that with previous versions of Boom Ball. I'm wondering if all the changes Microsoft has made to the OS and to the system has reduced the capabilities of the Kinect at all. Cause I definitely noticed there was some more, I don't know, issues with Kinect detection than I've seen in previous games from Virtual Air Guitar. So I don't think it's something wrong with them. I think Microsoft might just be really trying to destroy the Kinect in every way possible. I don't know. There's 50 stages in the game. Each stage has three different skill levels to it, from standard to fast to turbo mode. I didn't think turbo mode was super, super fast, but you know, that's the way to get more stars to unlock more shit. So of course you're going to go with that one. Each level grades you based on beating the stage, beating it based on what difficulty you picked, beating it within a certain amount of time and beating it without losing any balls. Of course, you know, achievements are tied to that of, you know, beating every stage without losing a ball or beating every stage on turbo mode, stuff like that. The two-player mode has been improved a bit. I know in previous games, my wife and I, like, we could not go anywhere near each other or the Kinect would just start freaking the fuck out. In this one, we were actually swapping places. So she would stand where I am, I'd go behind her, and it was still detecting everything really well. Overall, if you have a Kinect, I mean, there ain't shit else to buy. Microsoft gave up on it. I'm happy that Virtual Air Guitar haven't given up on it because it's still a fun game, and it could be a good workout. If you're looking to sweat a bit, throw it on turbo and go get you some gold medal times. It's fun stuff. $10. I definitely got to give it a buy it because it's good that there's a new Kinect game. I'm happy.
Yeah, they do well with putting out the Kinect stuff. Like you said, that's the only one that does it, and they keep doing what they're doing. You know, just like the Artifacts Mundi team, right, Eternal? Just keep putting out those, and this team keeps putting out, you know, they do what they do well.
You're doing it well. Keep doing it.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Pretty much.
That's cool. I played the first Boom Ball. I enjoyed it. I haven't played the other two yet, but I just need a little more space for the Kinect still. It's still a pain sometimes, but that's more about personal, like, arrangement of furniture and stuff. But yeah, it's cool.
I wish Microsoft would acknowledge the Kinect again. It seems every time there's an update, they remove more Kinect functionality from the system, and it's pissing me off.
Yeah. I mean, now they have this Windows 10 mixed reality stuff. Maybe they're just focusing on that now. Similar in some ways, but I actually did get a mixed reality headset.
You've been dancing this whole time waiting to talk about mixed reality. He's just been sitting in his chair just squishing back and forth, going, "Oh my god, just say something about mixed reality." I know it.
It actually requires less space than Kinect, also, so I'm able to actually make it work. So, anyway, but that's a whole nother time.
Then again, I still miss Snap. I want that back.
Oh yeah, dude.
Anyway, next game to talk about is called The Dear God, developed and published by Blowfish Studios and Crescent Moon Games. It released December 21st on the Switch for $7.99. Become one of the most beautiful animals on planet Earth. Live as a deer. Survive as a deer. Dark Mika covered this one, wrote in a review, and Mr. Scotty, you're going to read this one. So what does she have to say?
Mr. Joe Forniforge.
We're putting that to work.
The Joe God. No. All right, here we go. So, Dark Mika, The Deer God. The Deer God is a platforming game with pixel graphics. In the game, you play as, well, okay, the start of the game. You're a person who goes to shoot a deer, but a wolf decides to maul you, making you shoot a doe. I read that as a Joe. You die by the wolf, and the deer god tells you you've committed heinous crimes, like shooting that doe, which was actually the wolf's fault, but that's completely glossed over. Anyway, you're changed into a deer that you can save the life of those you hurt to make up for your misdeeds, or something like that. The game is fairly pretty. It has some rather drastic changes in lighting, though, which were a pain. Sometimes the screen would get very dark, and at nighttime in the game, it was very hard to see anything on the screen, which was pretty annoying. And the rest of the time, though, the lighting was great. There's a few different environments as well. In this game, you can go left or right as you see fit, but the idea is always to move to the right until you get to the, to basically move to the right until you get to the end of the game, which requires you to do quests and also, things for those that you meet along the way, if they're deer or people. The game isn't that difficult, but the platforming is pretty easy generally after you get the double jump ability. And you get that literally right at the start of the game. And the dash, which you get not long after the double jump, there's the ability to fight creatures of the forest and people and a moderate morality system, which doesn't really affect anything other than your deer's appearance and gives you an achievement for maxing it out for being both good and bad. The game requires you to eat food and keep stamina up because without it, you will lose health until you die or eat food. So it has kind of a survival element to it. Fighting really doesn't serve a purpose other than for achievements, as many of the bad creatures you can actually fight are hard to beat because you simply don't do enough damage while they do a ton to you. Also, as stated, you're reborn as a deer. I guess that I should have stated you start out as a buck, a baby deer. If you die, you simply respawn as a duck again. And if you survive long enough and kill enough enemies, you grow up into an older buck and then do it again as an adult deer. I like this mechanic because it was cute and cool. As stated, you run right the whole time. There's a few different areas which you get at random. Obtaining and completing quests increases how you see certain area types. The whole thing is somewhat procedurally generated. There's a few different styles of each area, and they're jumbled up and pasted next to each other. for instance, there might be 10 different forest areas, the same 10 for everyone, but when a new forest area you walk into could be any one of those 10. This is both nice and a complete pain in the ass. bosses only show up in certain area types and within that area, and only show up in one of the two different ways that level can show up. So it means basically that you are looking for a boss for 50 different areas, 50 plus areas, before you can finally get the one boss that's somewhat, while someone else just might get that one immediately. I spent over 3 hours trying to get one boss to show up. It was less than pleasant.
The joys of randomly generated games.
You gotta pray to RNGesus. You can get elemental powers, which are fun to toy with, but again, they serve little purpose, as there's actually no point in even fighting. There's lots of cool things in this, but so much of it doesn't even deserve a purpose, making them rather pointless. The game overall is rather fun, but maybe a bit boring at times, or at least until you hit one of the glitches that just sucks the fun out of the game. Some walls you can walk through, and it's because a hidden path to get to where an item may be. Sometimes they're there, and sometimes they're not, and sometimes you can walk through them, and sometimes you don't go anywhere but dropping you out of the map because you aren't supposed to exist. Also, if you die in an area and respawn in it, the baby buck can't get out of the area, making you stuck there for quite some time, constantly quitting out and continuing the game to spawn more and more creatures that you can fight to hopefully level up before you run out of stamina and health, and so you can grow out of it, get out of the area, and hopefully get to food before you die and respawn there to do it all over again. But for $8, I say buy it. Yes, the glitches really pissed me off, but other than those, I was fine and enjoyed the game. It's slow and methodical and nature-y, but I liked it, and it's a nice, easy, mellow out type of game. So
that's
yeah.
good. I know this was a divisive one when it first launched on the Xbox One, but it's hitting pretty much every platform, so I guess it's doing well.
Yeah, I remember playing it as a game with gold. I didn't get too far, and to be honest, I kind of got pissed off early on, and I guess I didn't give it a chance because, as I learned here, there's so many different, as Dark Miko was saying here, there's so many different like abilities and stuff, kind of like Metroidvania in a sense, right? I assume.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed it. I played it when it was game with gold on Xbox,
yeah.
And I completed it with the exception of I need one of the bosses to spawn. It's the last one I need to get the achievement for killing all the bosses. I got it when the game was still glitched. The achievement was glitched, and I can't trick it to spawn again. So I've never been able to get the actual completion, even though I've technically done it. But I did enjoy the game. I didn't think that the elemental powers were unnecessary. You use them for solving some of the puzzles and to actually reach the ending. There's two endings to it. And the morality aspect comes into play. You don't just spawn back as a baby. You're technically reincarnated every time you die. You have to start your life cycle over.
Reincarnated.
Jesus Christ.
Reincarnated. Carnated.
He's not allowed back.
I'm trying too hard.
Why
now.
Did I say yes when you wanted to come back?
Anyway, Joe's not here to back me up. Joe, super NES Joe. Oh, well.
Right.
But the whole reincarnation thing, that's the reason that you start as the baby again. And in order to actually save your progress in the game, you have to mate with another deer.
Oh, yeah.
You create the baby, and then you respawn as your child each time. So that's how that's technically supposed to work.
Gotcha. But
But in order to do the mate, you just basically walk up to it and stand there while a little heart meter fills, and that's the mating. So it's not anything, you know, pixely and graphic or anything. It's just wait for the meter to fill, and then a baby appears on the ground.
Cool. Well, anyway, next game, this is kind of just a quick update. Dust Off Heli Rescue 2, developed and published on Xbox One by Invictus Games. Released December 26th on Xbox One for $14.99. Also on PS4, co-developed by Rataleika Games and published by Rainy Frog. Take off with your rescue helicopter, be the hero chopper pilot, and save the life of the wounded soldiers in the battlefield. Fight against tanks and trucks firing their weapons at you and transport the friendly army back to their base, all in a well-known blocky style in a family-friendly mode where humans never die and enemies always run away. Purnell covered this one on our last episode, but we also just recently got the Xbox One version. I wanted to talk about it for a few minutes as well. Purnell talked about how interesting the control mechanics were in the game and the fact that all the shooting is done automatically. We talked about how it was originally a mobile game, and that's probably explains some of the reason why there's like auto firing and everything else. After putting some time into it myself today, I totally understand the controls behind it. Everything is pretty much done with the bumpers in the game. You use the left and right bumpers to take off. You use, you know, right bumper to fly right, left bumper to fly left. You'll have to tap on the, you know, if you're heading left, you'll tap on the right bumper to kind of even yourself out or hover in place. The controls, once you figure out what does what, very intuitive, but it also requires a decent amount of precision. Gameplay's all done on a 2D plane where you're flying left and right, either in a delivery mission or a cargo mission where you're either picking up soldiers, dropping off soldiers, or dropping off supplies to them. You'll still have to deal with enemies there, but it's not required to fight enemies in that one. They also have attack missions where the goal is to blow up the enemies. A bunch of different helicopters you get through the game. Played really well on Xbox. I didn't have any kind of problems with it. I thought using the bumpers was fine. I would have probably preferred to use the triggers. I didn't see anything in the game to change the buttons, but not too huge of a deal. I'd rather use triggers if it came down to it.
Yeah, and you could always remap through the accessories app, right? In any game, so.
True. Very true.
That's good.
Fuck, where was I?
My bad. Now it's Joe's turn. I interrupted him and he lost his turn. Nice.
I thought it was a lot of fun, though. I didn't have an issue with the fact that you didn't have to fight things yourself. I thought it actually worked better. It basically treats it as you have a gunner with you and you're just focused on flying. I think if you had to also take care of the shooting as well, it would require too many different button presses, too many complex hand movements. And given the fact that they're trying to aim for an all audiences game with this and a more casual game, I think they made the right move with what they did. $15 does seem a little bit high for this one, given it was originally a mobile game, but I think it's solid. There's like 35 stages, something like that, in the game. There's replayability in terms of collecting the dog tags in every stage, getting the 3 stars in every stage. I think there's plenty of content there to justify the price, and there's not much like this on consoles. So I think it's a really cool game, and Purnell, I think he gave it a try it, or, you know, a recommended kind of try. I think it's cool and it's worth checking out.
That reminds me, actually, I haven't played the game, but it reminds me of a game that was on the 360 arcade. I don't know if you guys played Choplifter HD, or maybe it was on Steam. Did you guys ever
that try was that on one? That was on Xbox Arcade, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that very similar from what I've seen.
Yeah, it just has, you know, everyone calls it the Minecraft visual style. I still think it's 3D Dot Heroes from the PS3 because they did it first. But yeah, it has that 3D pixel block style. And it's, you know, a good looking game. It plays well and it's fun and entertaining. Any questions?
I had to mute my mic to cough. Oh, God.
All right, well, one final game to talk about tonight. Arcade Archives Neo Geo Pulsar console version, developed and published by Hamster Corporation. Released December 21st on the Switch for $7.99, previously available on Xbox and PS4. an outstanding space shoot 'em up, master of multiple of items. I love their descriptions. To defeat the alien threat, Polestar is a side-scrolling shooting game released by SNK in 1995. Control the Dino 246 and take down the aliens who are attacking the solar system. Use everything at your disposal to protect your ship and defeat the alien threat. This is retro old school side scrolling shmup. I think the interesting, feature with this is it's probably one of the first games that had computer rendered cutscenes to it. Like, it's very primitive, early 3D visual, but it's neat to see kind of like an FMV video in an arcade game.
Right. Yeah.
Which is pretty neat. Plays very similar to games like R-Type, where you'll shoot enemies, they'll drop power-ups. The more powerful you get, the easier the game is. But it also has the downfall of the R-Type games, where once you're powered up and you're destroying shit, once you die, you're fucked. It's pretty much game over, because you'll never be able to get all the equipment and upgrades you've had. And there were a bunch of times I'm playing this game and I would die and I didn't know what hit me.
Yeah, I played a little bit of that too, and I know what you're talking about. And if it's like, if you lose all your stuff, you might as well just start over, because you're not going to do better on your second and third lives that you have with no weapons.
One of the other downfalls compared to most of the other Neo Geo games we've seen, the options with the dip switches in this one aren't as varied as they are in many of the other games. I know a lot of the shmups and brawlers from the Neo Geo collection, you could set it to like 99 lives, something crazy like that. The max in this one is 6.
They don't fuck around in this one. This is a shmup god.
This is definitely a tougher to get into shmup than some of the others, but if you get good at it and you can make it through a bunch of stages without dying and keep all your power-ups, it's a really, really fun game. I pretty much say all of the Neo Geo games that come out are worth at least checking out, because you could get a Neo Geo game for $8, and that shit still blows my mind. Overall, I'd give Polestar a try. It's fun, but it is definitely not the most user-friendly Neo Geo shmup that we've seen come out.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, definitely if you like shmups, pick it up. I would agree too, but it probably not the best one for like a new shmup player. Yeah. So there's probably other ones. I think Aero Fighters was one of them that was pretty easy or accessible.
Yeah, there's been so many good Neo Geo games to come out too. So
I don't mind the shmup ones most of the time, but the fighting ones, in my opinion, I'm just sick of them already. There's just too many. Bring on more shmups than fighting games.
My gripe with the fighting games is that they are too difficult.
Yeah, you put it on easy and it doesn't do shit.
Yeah, just because, you know, these arcade games were designed to eat quarters, and the fighting games are just, for the most part, they're just brutal.
Oh yeah, dude.
But man, that is it. That is another marathon show. This went longer than I thought it would, mainly because you guys and Joe don't know when to shut the fuck up.
Too many puns, too many interruptions. It's all the good
stuff. Too many tangents. So before we wrap this...
We hit 200 follows on Mixer.
Yay!
Congrats.
Yay!
So before we wrap this show up for the year, what are you guys doing for New Year's?
Just getting together with a couple friends, playing games, you know, eating pizza, eating junk food, drinking stuff, and playing games. That's,
nice.
Are we trying to get back into the swing of getting up at like 6 a.m. to put the kids on the bus again, because they start on the 2nd? Which is like one of the cruelest things that schools can do. New Year's is a celebration, and then you have to go to school the next day.
Yeah, it's like New Year's time is, crazy.
Give me like 2 or 3 extra days post New Year's to recover, and then start them back. This is bullshit. This New Year's on the 1st, school on the 2nd is bullshit.
Yeah, it is. Oh, well, what are you going to do? I don't think I have any plans for New Year's. I'm just probably going to chill at home, and then... I think we're going to have one episode release on the 2nd, so I'll probably record some of that stuff over the weekend, and then I'm taking a fucking week off. I'm going to MAGFest, so after the episode launches next Tuesday on the 2nd, we're not going to have another one till the 12th, and I can't wait.
Oh yeah, dude! I know how excited you are about MAGFest. You got to speak about that every show.
I'm excited. We've had a bunch of MAGFest guests on recently, and shit's gonna be fun.
And you got Phil Moore, right?
Yeah, he's gonna be at MAGFest.
That one, yeah.
Motherfucking Phil Moore was on my show. How goddamn cool is that?
That was awesome. My childhood and your childhood.
Did you go back and listen to it?
I didn't get a chance to yet, but I think I will tomorrow.
Looking forward to. You don't listen to nothing.
I just go on your show. I never listen to it. No.
I don't blame you. I don't like the host.
There's no achievements for listening to the show.
Yeah, there's no achievements. Well, let's put achievements in your show. Yeah.
Maybe eventually. But yeah, that is it for this episode. Everyone, have a wonderful and safe Happy New Year. It's been another fun year of the show. We're going to be turning 5 in about a month, and I guess we'll see what happens from there. But Scott, we'll give you the honors. Any final words to end this episode?
Joe Forniforge.
No.
I hope they burn in hell.